about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective. Hey everybody, welcome back to the live edition of Let's Paint, Exercise, and Let's Make Blended Drinks tonight, and we're taking your calls. All these wonderful things that we can do all at the same time.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Imagine, Mr. Speaker, a world without balloons. How can we make sure that the injustice of there being no helium for comedians to get that high-pitched voice that we all hold near and dear to our hearts? Imagine a world without balloons.
I've got no patience with it. I will not tolerate it.
Oh, my God. I cannot stand that affected butt plug.
Oh, you betcha.
Thank God it's Friday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm so not a raper.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over. Roll another one.
Don't freaking be like that, okay?
Just like the other one.
Thick, meaty, juicy.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Well, that was a miscalculation.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
How's there not been a made-for-TV movie about your struggles?
Roll another one.
Yeah, booty might be burning.
Just like the other one.
God bless you for being honest.
This one seems to be about sense.
Don't chase me, bro.
I don't have another sense.
Booger's not, booger's not, booger's not, booger's not.
God, really?
Let's pass it around.
Holy masquerade.
Well, don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Watch it.
Let's pass it on down.
And now.
Hey, guys. I smashed one of my balls in the refrigerator door.
Our feature presentation.
Well, it happens, young man. Don't worry about that.
That seems bad.
It does. Not a great way to start your day, but at least it is Friday. Welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning, Bean.
You think Kevin's still alive?
Yes, because I don't think he's actually left yet.
Oh, okay.
So he's flying out today.
He's probably fine.
Yeah.
He's probably fine.
So far, so good.
Okay. A lot of listener interest in who's going to replace Kevin, by the way. And the number one vote, in case he doesn't come back from Brazil, is Robot Kevin.
Oh.
Remember we had Robot Kevin?
Robot Kevin is good. What about Drunk Kevin?
Well, the Drunk Kevin's who we're replacing.
Right. But then there's the other Drunk Kevin.
Oh, that's
pretty
true.
Great.
Yeah, that's true, too. Well, hopefully we've got some time to think about it. Anyway, it is an all-new show for a Friday morning. We will tell you all about that in a second. But first, we from time to time bring up that the world is getting fatter, particularly America.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to look very much outside this studio to see evidence of how fat America is getting. Am I right, Beer Mug?
I'm not seeing what you're saying.
You're following that?
No.
And it's really creating, it's creating an infrastructure problem because, you know, cars need to be made bigger with bigger seats. We've talked about airline seats
movie
before.
Movie theater seats.
Movie theaters.
Restaurants.
They just replaced they just did a remodel on my Denny's that I go to every Thursday. And they had to make the booths bigger because increasingly people are coming in that they try to sit in a booth and they can't fit between the chair and the table.
Yeah, and Denny's does not want to turn those people away.
That's their bread and butter.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are with extra butter. Those are absolutely their people.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell you all of that to tell you this story out of Australia. Here's the owner of a West Australian funeral business who picked up a man who weighed 440 pounds and tried to deliver him to the morgue. The morgue said, can't accommodate him. Too big. Doesn't fit in our freezer.
So they're going to have to make bigger freezers.
They absolutely are. Oh. The incident occurred Wednesday last week. They turned her away. And what does she do now? She's got this guy in her car. It doesn't say that it's a hearse. I assume it has to be a hearse if she picked it up. So she drove 2 hours home with the 440-pound man's body in her car.
Oh, no.
And then she just left the car running at her house overnight with the air conditioning on. She went through three tanks of gas, letting the car run overnight, trying to keep the body cool. She checked on the body every 30 minutes. I don't know why. I don't know what she was expecting the body to do.
I would imagine an ice pickup would have been cheaper. Like, just fill up some bags with ice and
maybe
slam on him.
But in Australia, in the heat,
yeah.
I would think that okay. that would melt. So the next morning, she and her business partner hired a sea container with a chiller in it to store the body. And she's just outraged about this. She says, my issue is if that were your father, your mother, your partner, you would not want them refused entry into the mortuary. So what are we going to do about that? You know?
Is there another – there's no place?
Apparently not. Apparently not in this small town. But anyway, so that's just the latest thing that's going to have to be refigured because, by the way, this is the second time in the past year that the mortuary has – they turned away a 500-pound man last year as well.
God. Well, and think the coroner's office too.
Yep. All these places.
Oh, my God. That's a business. You want to get into a new business?
Bigger stuff.
Yeah.
That's
everything.
Your business. So. Anyway, so that's a little something for you to think about as you sit down to your ridiculously large breakfast today. And it also reminds me that we do have an all-new edition of Bean's Death Corner on the program today. We have comedian Ian Edwards coming on by. He is funny, by the way. I have only very recently become aware of Mr. Edwards because he was in the news because Team Coco, the Conan O'Brien record label, is putting out his album. And it is great, and he is so funny.
Joe Rogan was raving about him.
Really, we're going to have a great time with him today. And by the way, I would not have expected this. He also hosts a soccer podcast.
That is surprising.
And it's not a comedy thing. I mean, he's a legitimate hardcore soccer fan on top of everything else. So it's a great time to have him in. Summer begins this weekend. I don't know if you know that or not, but tomorrow is the first day of the new season. And with that, we do our annual trip to the Psycho Body. Our friend Psycho Mike Catherwood is going to come in today. And I think he's going to whip you into shape sometime in the next 24 hours. He's going to have you ready for summer. And, of course, it's Friday. That means Ralph's got the movie beat, and he is back with the Showbiz Beat, too. And we'll get to that next right after this on the World Famous K. Was he guilty, Ralph? You hit the murder button? You sent him away? What happened?
Regarding jury duty yesterday?
Yeah.
No, I had to postpone.
What?
I had to postpone my service.
You had to go in to postpone? You couldn't do it on the phone?
No.
That seems ridiculous.
It does seem counterproductive, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I can't come in, so I have to come in to tell you I can't come in.
Well, it wasn't that I couldn't be there, obviously, yesterday, but when you enter in, they say you need to clear your schedule for the next 10 days. Should you be impaneled on a jury, you have to be available.
Right.
And I'm going out of the country next week, so I was not available. And once we went through that process, they said, okay, show us your travel arrangement. Anyway, it's a boring story.
Had to prove all that.
Boring story. But I had to prove that, so I had to push back my service till when I get back from
the gotcha. But you told them you can tell a guy is guilty by looking at him, right? I mean, they would want you on the panel for that, right?
I was just pointing people out randomly in the hallways. I said, by the way, that guy's guilty, and that guy over there, he's guilty. I was giving
them they're not up for anything. They're not being charged with
anything. I said, they will be. You watch. They will be. I was giving them tips. You know, I was trying to help out, do my civic duty. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's too bad. I know you were hoping to get that behind you, but oh well. It is Friday morning. Ralph is back. Time for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Speaking of my trip abroad next week, tomorrow, actually, no, kidding me, tonight. Tonight at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show at the Improv on Melrose. It'll be the last Hollywood Babylon for a while because we are taking the show to England and Ireland over the next couple weeks. So if you want to catch Hollywood Babylon here in the States at the Improv on Melrose, come on out tonight, 10 p.m.
Why?
Because it's fun. You can go to improv.com and then click on the Hollywood Club and get your tickets there. You can go to BabylonRalph.com and get your tickets. But there's just a couple left, so come on out and join us if you want to have a good time. And speaking of a good time, Lindsay Lohan is in the news. She is loving England, man. She is just loving England. Because apparently she can just go out and just get smashed and nobody really notices. That's the rumor.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back here in the States, people still believe that she is sober on the wagon. Hmm. She thinks that America's out to get her, one friend quotes her as saying, while people across the pond treat her with respect. So she hopes to relocate full-time to London. And look, she's got work. Maybe that'll happen. She's just been announced that she will be starring in a West End revival of the David Mamet play Speed the Plow.
Hmm.
Yeah, indeed.
I don't really see her owning the stage.
Lindsay is a likable enough actress on screen. However, this is a three-person play written by David Mamet.
Yeah.
And she's going to have to bring it. She's never done a stage play before. Well, that's good news.
Mamet's a good way to start.
Yeah, yeah. He's easy. Mamet's easy. No word yet on who her co-stars will be in the three-person play, but they've got their work cut out for them.
I feel like she should start with, like, Footloose or something like that. That's the kind of play she needs to
do. Xanadu, the musical stage version, or something easy.
Now, is there some difference? I thought that British tabloids were just as brutal as ours in terms of following the celebrities
worse
and reporting
sometimes
on their misdeeds. Is it that she's not a big enough star there for them to care about? Could that be what's happening?
Maybe, but she seems to think that the people in London, in her words, are cool and down to earth. And they don't seem to be bothering her. So
All right.
Maybe she'll change her mind after a little investigative journalism on their behalf. But so far, so good. And yesterday they announced who's getting their stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Each and every year they announce who will be honored. And this year, some really deserving people are getting stars. And then there are some other people getting stars as well. Will Ferrell, for example. Getting his star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He belongs there.
Absolutely.
Melissa McCarthy will also be honored.
Sure.
Jennifer Garner is getting a star.
Nice.
Peter Jackson, Daniel Radcliffe, Paul Rudd, Christoph Waltz.
Wow, no complaints on any of these.
That's how I feel. James L. Brooks, creator of The Simpsons, will get his star. Sofia Vergara from Modern Family. Bobby Flay. Celebrity chef Bobby Flay is getting a star.
Okay.
My good friend and other boss, Seth MacFarlane, is getting his star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Nice.
Juliana Margulies, Chris O'Donnell from NCIS Los Angeles, Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory, Amy Poehler, and Kelly Ripa will get their stars. In the music category, Pitbull. Come on. Really?
All right.
Pharrell Williams, Kristen Chenoweth, and Kool & the Gang. Kool & the Gang. Once again, Kool & the Gang.
I feel they deserve one more than Pitbull does.
Well, yeah, sure. I deserve one more than Pitbull does. And, of course, Snoopy. Snoopy will be getting his star.
Oh, Snoop Dogg? He's great, man. He's a legendary early gangster rapper.
No, don't misunderstand me. The fictional character Snoopy. The dog who sits on the doghouse. Snoopy.
What?
Snoopy. Gets a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I'm sure Snoopy will be very, very happy. Oh, wait a minute. He doesn't exist.
So Charles M. Schulz probably already has a star. That's not enough. They got to give one to Snoopy, too.
They got to give one to Snoopy. Because you need that guy in the suit to do the thing. To show up there and be all Snoopy. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Christopher Mintz Plasse, 25 years old today. Josh Lucas, the actor, is 43. Robert Rodriguez, the director, is 46 today. Nicole Kidman turns 47. Actor John Goodman is 62. Brian Wilson of the legendary band The Beach Boys turns 72 years old today. Actor Martin Landau, Oscar winner. You've seen him in movies like Ed Wood. He is 86 years old today. And singer Lionel Richie, 65 years old today. Lionel Richie, what happens when you play Lionel Richie songs? I can't remember.
Last one for Burtonsville, for Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his songs.
That's right. He gets... Yay! No, kids, you don't know. You don't know, kids.
The kids
You're
are
young.
Amused.
You're young, you don't know. When you grow up, you'll realize how awful that is. I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the show...
I know most of the time, Ralph, you don't want to know what goes on in this room before you walk in.
No, that's why I don't come in here often.
About 15 seconds before the door opened, Lisa May asked this question to Beer Mug. Does this look infected? actually just happened in our workplace.
Do we have to start a thanks for that info, Lisa? Do we have to start a new segment where we start writing down everything she says?
I just wanted somebody else's opinion
You asked Beer Mug?
Well, he's the only
you
one in the room.
You must have a friend, a family member, a clergyman, someone you can turn to.
I am a doctor.
Occurred this morning. Yeah. He probably has doctors in his family.
Wait, what are you a doctor of? What are you a doctor of?
You know why. You know what I'm saying.
Sorry, let me get HR on the phone real quick.
Exactly.
I'm disturbed.
All right, it is a Friday, which is great news in of itself, but it's also great news because that means Ralph is here with the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Let me tell you a little something about director Paul Haggis. Not only did he invent that delicious dish where you take a sheep's stomach and you stuff it full of spices and things and everything.
Oh, that's where it got its name? Yeah. I never heard that.
Yeah, that's his. But he's also a brilliant director. I always look forward to seeing a film when his name is attached to it. And this week is no different. New in limited release is a new film called Third Person. Paul Haggis directs. It is an interlocking story of three different couples in three different cities, Rome, Paris, and New York, whose romances all weave together largely because of the doings of writer Liam Neeson. He didn't write the movie, but he plays a writer in the film. Mila Kunis also stars Adrian Brody, Olivia Wilde, just an amazing cast, and looks to be a fascinating, complex story about human relationships, which you don't get to see in movies all that often anymore. Here are some clips from the trailer of the new movie, Third Person.
You should be writing about me. Are you?
I write about what I know.
And you know me.
Hi, Daddy. I miss you.
My daughter. You have kids?
Girl, I don't see her 2 years.
You just need to convince the judge that you're stable enough to get visitation again.
What do you want, Julia?
I need to be able to touch him. He is my son.
Do you know how long she talked about showing you how she could swim?
She was always trying to get your attention.
All you had to do was watch her, and you couldn't even do that.
I'm not forgiving myself.
Yeah, James Franco also stars. Maria Bello. Boy, it's an amazing cast of people.
Yeah.
Looks I'm sad that Kevin is not here to complain about how much talking there is in this movie.
Kill me now. So many just words. So many words coming out of their mouths, and I don't understand many of them.
Also opening up this weekend, Think Like a Man 2. Before you were just thinking like a man. Now you got to Think Like a Man 2.
All right.
This is the sequel to the popular Think Like a Man movie that was based on a book, if I'm not mistaken, by Steve Harvey.
Yep. Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, I think you're right.
Act Like a Woman, Think Like a Man was the name of the book.
Right.
And they made a movie out of it, and it was a big hit. So now it's Think Like a Man 2. However, it's T-O-O. See what they did there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah.
So clever.
It is clever. Kevin Hart stars, like he does in almost every film. Gabrielle Union, Wendon McClendon Covey, Lala Anthony, just, you know, the usual suspects. All the couples are back, for this time for a wedding in Las Vegas. But plans for a romantic weekend go awry when their various misadventures get to them in some compromising positions. I'll tell you, they're sure wacky. Here's a scene where
I don't think this is for us.
Kevin Hart wants to be in charge while he and his friends end up in a Las Vegas jail.
Why would we let you?
What do you mean?
What we're talking?
Because I'm a season one holder of Oz.
Yes.
Have you seen it?
I've seen it.
Have you seen season one?
No.
Exactly, so you don't have the knowledge. Everybody, listen up! What I need to know is who's the boss in here? Because a new boss just walked in. That's right. Me and my crew, we just took this over. You got that? Mercy, please.
Who could have seen that coming? That some tougher guys would make them back down almost immediately upon them saying that. Lou, hang on. He's got season one of Oz.
He sure does.
That made him prepared for his time in jail.
You don't know, man. You weren't there.
Yeah. Luckily, I was not there. And you know where I'm not going to be? There. And the big movie of the weekend, Clint Eastwood. Surprising choice to direct a story of four young boys out of Jersey from the wrong side of the tracks who come together to form an iconic 60s rock group. But such is the case with Jersey Boys. It is the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, a band which now, of course, nobody really cares about. But at the time, you have to understand the huge impact they had on the music scene back in the 60s. Second perhaps only to the Beatles in terms of the phenomenon that rose around this group from the 60s. Clint Eastwood, as I mentioned, directed. No real stars in this because Clint went out of his way to cast all actors who had played the roles previously in theatrical interpretations of this story. Of course, this was a big Broadway hit, Tony Award-winning Broadway hit, Jersey Boys, loaded with 60s music. Again, I'm sorry Kevin's not here because you know how he loves music from the 60s.
Sure.
Here's a scene where Frankie Valli, the leader of the Four Seasons, talks to his new partner about a songwriting singing partnership that would serve them both well over the next couple decades.
We make a partnership. I give you half of everything I write, and you give me half of everything you record outside the group.
Hey, if things work out, I think we can talk about a saxophone.
If things work out, we can talk about a whole horn section.
Okay, I'm in.
How's somebody draw up a contract?
What, you mean like sign a piece of paper from a lawyer?
Yeah.
Hey, you want to do this thing?
Yeah, but we got to get something on paper.
You want a contract? Yeah. A jersey contract.
Jersey contract. Handshake. That was a jersey contract.
There you go. Yep.
You don't know. You people don't know. I know Jersey. I was there. I shook a hand of a guy in Jersey once, and I still have to send him a check every week. Those are legal binding contracts, those handshakes. I'm looking forward to seeing this film. Critics have not been kind, but I'm a sucker for this time period and for this music, so I will check out Jersey Boys this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Got an all-new edition of Bean's Death Corner coming up later on for you this morning. Also, comedian Ian Edwards will be here, and Mike Catherwood stops by for The Psycho Body. Hey, Lisa, you know who Vlad the Impaler was?
Yes. That was Dracula.
Yeah. Right? They believe that Vlad the Impaler, who was lived in the 15th century, who was just a terrible man, a dictator, tortured everybody. And one of the things that Vlad used to do is he used to impale people who disagreed with him on giant stakes.
Mm-hmm.
and allegedly drank their blood, too. And it is believed that Vlad was the inspiration for Bram Stoker to write the Dracula book. So he's Dracula.
Yeah.
And historians have been fascinated for hundreds and hundreds of years about this real-life guy and what happened to him, because he just kind of disappeared one day in battle. Well, now researchers believe that they have tracked the last few years of his life, and they think they know where he was buried. And now,
really?
And you tell me what we know about Vlad the Impaler, one of the cruelest despots that ever lived in history. You tell me if this is a good idea or not. There are researchers who want to open his grave.
Now, yeah, no.
If Dracula has been dead and gone and buried for hundreds of years, do you really unleash that back onto the world?
I think you just leave well enough alone.
I think maybe so. I think maybe you go, hey, that's good that we found you, but maybe you're doing fine right there where you are. So it is it's a fascinating story. Obviously, there are lots of people who are kind of invested to see what happens and whether it's going to happen. What are they going to find when they open it? And I don't know. I just think this is neat. I love that period in history, too. So we asked producer Dave, is there anybody that we could talk to? And I believe that we have one of the researchers who has been investigating this case for many, many years, who is an expert and authority on Vlad the Impaler. And he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello, sir.
Bleh. Hello. Who is this?
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We were told that we had a researcher on the line about Dracula.
Oh, yes. I'm afraid your friend is no longer available.
What? Who is this?
My name. It goes by many different names. Perhaps
uh-huh.
You know me best as Dracula.
Dracula, you're on the phone with us right now.
Oh, I got chills.
Yes,
wow.
Yes, you did. You did, so, young lady. Look into my eyes.
No, I don't want to.
Look into my eyes.
That's a bad
Join
idea.
Me in my children of the night.
So, you've been dead for 600 years, but you actually sound pretty good right now.
Have I really been dead for 600 years?
Well,
yeah.
That's what
yeah.
We
or
thought.
Have I simply been waiting to come back to... Uh-oh. Drink blood anew.
I've got to say, I was on the record as saying it was a bad idea to dig your tomb up and release you onto the world. I think you were fine where you were.
Bad idea for you, perhaps. but for me, I'm so thirsty.
Yeah. Oh,
what is that?
What do you have there, Drac?
Oh, it's V8. I could have had a V8, and I did, because it's hard to find blood around here when you're sealed up in a tomb.
Sure.
I guess so.
Luckily, Sprouts delivers, so I had them bring some V8 around. It's going to have to do until I get some fresh blood.
Now, you are not going to like what has happened to Europe since you've been gone, by the way. We no longer live in a world where you can just, you know, burn your victims and cut off their noses and ears and mutilate their sex organs and all the scalping, everything else that you used to do back in the day.
What's wrong with you people?
Well, we're a little more civilized
now. Out of things.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that anymore, Drac.
Well,
Drac.
It will once. Thank you for calling me Drac, by the way. Thank you for not calling me Vlad the Impaler.
Oh, did you hate that?
Well, I haven't used that name since I left porn. That was my porn name, Vladdy and Paler.
It's a good one.
That's an excellent name.
Wait till you see my steak, sweetie.
Oh, wow. Yes. You guys want me to step aside here? Sounds like you need a moment together.
No, you stick around because I need some fresh blood. You'll do nicely to give me energy to take care of the woman.
Well, he is the world's healthiest man, so he's
a
good
true.
One.
From what I've heard about him, maybe I don't want to drink his blood.
I might steer clear.
So your plan is just to suck your way through Europe, then?
Yes, much like Justin Bieber.
It's the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ on a Friday morning. Ralph, I know you were out yesterday. You were in service to the state with your jury duty.
Yes.
We counted down Kevin's top 10 moments with of all time on the program yesterday.
Hmm.
And I think we think we appreciate Kevin, but yesterday I realized he's a national treasure. He really is. It was amazing to hear those all back to back. I don't know that we've ever done that before. And I bring it up now to tell you and everybody else that if you missed it, you can go to kevinabede.com or krock.com and you can listen to the top 10 moments with. We also have our recent interviews with Dustin Brown, captain of the Los Angeles Kings up there, Landon Donovan, who we talked to yesterday about the World Cup, brand new internet roundup, and so much more. And coming soon over the 4th of July holiday weekend, new photo shoot with Miss Double December.
Oh!
Going to be sending Brit out there to the beach. So a lot of great reasons for you to make sure to keep calling, coming back to kevinabede.com and krock.com. Time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph.
I just think it's sad that it took Kevin's death for you to appreciate him.
He's not dead yet,
you
know.
Why not in life? Why don't we ever treat people in life the way we would in death? Why do we always save the accolades and the praise and the stories and the memories for someone after they passed and they can't even appreciate it? Why didn't you tell him how you felt about him when he was alive?
He is still alive for a few more days, and he was actually here yesterday. And it strangely, you think he would have enjoyed the tribute. He did not so much.
I think it's sweet how you're pretending that he's still with us because you just can't let go, and I can understand that. And you guys have been together, you know, for a long time. But of course, our best thoughts and prayers go out to his family and friends.
I'm pretty sure he's still alive, Ralph. I think we would have heard about it
so
if it hadn't changed. So far, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's so sweet. I told him to let go.
If he's going to die in Brazil, which I think we all think is likely, let it be funny though. Give me something to work with for Death Corner when we get back to it.
Come on. It's going to be a little funny no matter what happens, right?
It's Kevin. Of course it will.
I mean, anyone who walks willingly into the valley of death the way he has, there's a little humor in there.
He's asking for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Tonight at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I return to the stage of the Improv on Melrose to bring you Hollywood Babble On.
No.
It is the very entertaining show where Kevin and I talk about the week's entertainment news, and also we sing, we dance, we do jokes, impressions, there's puppetry.
No!
There's mime, we do interpretive dance.
What is happening?
Juggling, you name it. It's like an old vaudeville show.
God damn it, no!
It's the last chance to see us before we head off to the continent. We're going to the UK to take Babylon to London and Dublin and Birmingham in the UK. So if you want to see us, it's the first, last time you'll have a chance for a couple weeks. Come on out to the Improv on Melrose tonight and go to improv.com.
Will Glenda be there?
Glenda is coming tonight, actually.
That's awesome.
Glenda's our special guest.
We've
been so busy focused on Kevin's death that we have lost track of some other passes this week. Lyricist Jerry Goffin passed away. You may not know the name, but you know his music. He wrote pretty much every hit in the 60s, along with his then-wife, Carole King. Of course, she went on to a very successful solo career. Jerry Goffin continued to write as well with other people after their split. But if you look at the list of songs that he and his wife at the time were responsible for, it's like the greatest hits of the 60s. Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow, Up on the Roof, The Locomotion, a bunch of songs for the Monkees. Really a tremendous body of work. And You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, that was theirs. He passed away at the age of 75 this week. But left behind an impressive, impressive career, that's for sure. No wacky sound effects? No death video game sounds or whatever? Oh, okay. This feels incomplete now when I try to make a touching tribute to someone and I don't hear a wacky sound effect.
I blame myself.
All right. Bear Grylls has got another show. Running Wild with Bear Grylls is the name of it.
Okay.
The British survival guru will take celebrities out into the wild for 48 hours and teach them the ways of the world. Channing Tatum is one of his guests. Zac Efron, Ben Stiller, Tom Arnold, Deion Sanders, and others will join him in the wild for 48 hours of adventure.
Now, what do you think about that? Is that interesting to see people completely out of their elements try to get by?
Nope.
Okay.
Not for me, but maybe other people will like it. I have no interest in those wilderness shows. Oh, I'm going to eat some roots now and everything. Boring. Move on.
I do feel like if Bear Grylls, you know, lives in civilization and can go to a restaurant, why go out to the woods and eat roots?
I'm that way, too. I mean, it's one thing if you're watching a fictional film, you know, if you're watching a movie or something about someone who gets stranded a la Tom Hanks and Castaway or something like that, as someone who's forced into those elements and then you watch them, how they cope and deal. But if a guy's just stepping out of a 747 and you know.
And he's got a film crew around
him, getting carted out into the wilderness. And he's
seems like you're pretty safe with a backup.
Show you how you can eat grubs and stuff. Pass. And this is good / disturbing news. They finally found that creepy guy Michael Nunn, who's been torturing Kat Von D with those weird videos.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they got him? Oh, good.
Well, here's the thing. You may not know the story, but this guy was sending a bunch of threatening tweets to Kat Von D saying that his life is over and the only thing he has to live for is revenge and she's running out of time and he's threatened to go Columbine in the Los Angeles area. The police in Iowa, where he's currently living, did get in touch with him. They questioned him and they announced today they don't think he has any plans to really act on those threats and he's not really a threat to anyone.
Really?
So it's all good. It's all good here in Iowa, people. Move on. Nothing to see here.
They're not wrong.
They will be keeping in touch, they said, with him, just to keep an eye on him, but they don't believe he's a real threat to anyone.
This is a guy who Kat Von D previously has had to get a restraining order against.
Yep. That's that. Look, I just hope this is one of those stories that comes back to bite us in the ass. We say, they had him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They could have stopped. Fill in the blank.
Right.
Disturbing news.
There's a Supreme Court case right now about a guy who's making all sorts of threats on Facebook, and they're going to discuss what's the fine line between a guy just mouthing off and using his First Amendment rights to say crazy things and a person who is actually going to act on those things and is a serious threat. It's very difficult to guess sometimes.
Look, I understand you can't inhibit someone's rights to liberty just because of something you think they may do. I mean, that's a slippery slope. You can't start imprisoning people or detaining them because you think they may do something. I get that. Mm-hmm. But there has to be some allowances made for someone who indicates that they're going to be a threat to themselves or others, right?
Yeah,
the other person's rights?
Yeah, exactly.
I agree with you in this case. I mean, this guy definitely is mentally unstable. And just say, these days, to say, I'm going to go all Columbine on Los Angeles, to me, that seems like enough to lock a dude up.
Yeah, I
feel the same way. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Christopher Mintz-Plasse is 25 years old today. From Deftones, also crosses, the singer Chino Moreno is 41 years old. Josh Lucas is 43. Robert Rodriguez turns 46 years old. Nicole Kidman's 47. Actor John Goodman. How great is he? Have you seen any of that Alpha House?
Yep.
Boy, it's a very entertaining show. He is 62 years old. Lionel Richie turns 65. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys is 72. I would love to know how that guy's going to party. He is an animal. He's going to get in his sandbox and he's going to make a castle. Martin Landau 86 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Nirvana, the Black Keys of Monsters and Men all coming up, plus a brand new Bean's Death Corner and comedian Ian Edwards next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock for a Friday. Okay, so Ralph, I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad I am too.
You sometimes accuse me of being creepy and inappropriate.
Yes, when you are creepy and inappropriate.
And I very strongly disagree with that assessment.
Mm-hmm.
But I had an incident that happened to me on Wednesday that I want to run by you. And I need to find out if I'm really this out of touch, if things have changed, okay?
Oh, I can answer it now. Yeah, we don't need to go any further.
So can I.
See, now, yes. This is the problem. Now, this is the problem with me bringing this up is you have a built-in bias against me.
Well, you know what? The track record speaks for itself. If every time I go up to pet a certain dog, it bites my ass, uh-huh. I'm going to assume that dog is an ass biter.
What's the policy these days? And I ask both of you. Ralph, you seem to be fairly aware of how people interact in the world. And Lisa, I ask you because you're a woman, so this directly relates to you as well.
Okay.
What's the policy these days on telling a woman that she is attractive? Is that no longer allowed? Is that now a bad thing? Is that an insult now? Is that completely inappropriate to tell a person that she's pretty?
It's all a part of the delivery.
It's how you do it.
Absolutely. Lisa's right. It's how you do it. It's how you
if
approach
you're
it.
You're staring at her chest it's, saying, wow, you look really good today. That's a problem.
Yeah. It's tone. It's a choice of words. It's how you deliver it. Mm-hmm. There's so much involved in that. So you can't just put a blanket policy on it, Bean. Yes, of course, women like to be told they're attractive, but they don't like Uncle Creepy coming off the island in his white flannel van.
I'm not Uncle Creepy.
I'd like to see those without that shirt on.
It wasn't anything like that. All right.
If I
tell you what happened, will you try to have an open mind and not prejudge me? Okay, now because bear in mind, the woman involved in this story doesn't know me from Adam, and we know Adam. Hey, we just had him on the show yesterday, so she doesn't know me at all. So there's no preconceived.
You didn't make that joke around here.
All right.
There's no preconceived notion of me that she has to worry about me or she has a history with me or anything like that.
Look,
so,
no one has to know you to be creeped out by you, Bean. Don't get me wrong.
Kevin's told us plenty of times how you just get in an elevator with him and there's a woman in there and he can see her start to move away from you and look afraid.
She'll shrink away because she can pick up your creepy vibe.
I'm extremely dissatisfied with this assessment
of my
character.
But I'll keep an open mind.
All right, so I'm driving off the ferry. You know, we have a boat. I live on an island.
Is that a euphemism?
No, it's not. So I'm driving off a ferry, and I'm in my lane getting off the ferry, and then there's traffic that is stopped in the opposing lane getting ready to get onto the ferry once all the cars are off, okay? So as I drive off, I am driving just past the lane of traffic that's going to enter the ferry next. And there's probably, I don't know, it's probably about 10 feet between my side of the road and their side of the road, okay? And as I'm getting off the ferry, there's a woman who's in the first car in the ferry line.
Okay.
And she is just gorgeous, just drop-dead beautiful, beautiful woman.
Uh-huh.
Totally my type, the long, straight, dark hair and the alabaster skin, you know what I mean? The
creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
You haven't even opened your mouth yet, and already I'm creeped out.
I'm just telling you what she looked like. She's just like a young Sherilyn Fenn, or like a, you know my type. You know the type, type I like,
yes,
right?
Yes, Doto. We know, 5'8", 5'9".
She's Alison Brie. That's who she is. Right?
Okay.
She looks like Alison Brie.
She's attractive.
She's so
We've
pretty.
Established it that she's an attractive
she's
lady.
Really, I mean, really hung, latched onto. She's my type.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of women can be attractive without being your type,
Ooh,
by
alabaster
the way.
Skin. Why don't you start breaking off some phrases from the 1800s? I think we always start to get creepy.
No, I own
she
her.
She was a Titian-haired beauty with alabaster skin.
All right. So my car is going this way. Her car is parked going that way. I walk by her. I'm struck by how attractive she is. It's hot day. Windows are down. And I look at her and I don't plan it, but it just comes out and I say, "You're pretty."
Oh, Jesus.
She looks at me and she says, "F you."
Really?
Except she doesn't say F.
Good for her.
And I was deeply offended by that because, look, that's completely unwarranted, I think, because I wasn't insulting her.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I drove by and said, "Hey, you're fat," you know what I mean, or something like that. I mean, I was giving her a compliment.
"I want to do you."
Yeah, he wasn't saying anything like that, anything crude like that. I mean, it was she didn't have any way of knowing that it was completely spontaneous and unintended. But all I said is, you're pretty. And it was just, something just struck me. You know what I mean? Like you would have a bowl of ice cream and go, that's delicious. You know, it was just one of those things that came out.
Yeah.
But
it turns out she's not a bowl of ice cream, though.
Well,
turns out she's
that.
A human being.
But
do you really?
But isn't FU, isn't that a complete and crazy overreaction to somebody who is just complimenting her?
Nope.
I do find it a little excessive.
At least you know this. Any man
who
says anything out of a window of a passing car, or there are certain circumstances where it's no longer acceptable to even be complimentary because there is a creep factor built in. If you're driving by and you're, some girl's on the street and you're yelling out your car window or whatever, it's just socially inappropriate on every level.
But I didn't scream out, show me your... You know,
but you know,
whatever.
There is something about what Ralph is saying, which is that she is in her car, which is really her personal space.
Right.
And you've invaded it.
And you're leering at her through the window.
And now she's not by herself in her car, sort of protected.
Right. The world comes crashing in on her, and immediately she feels vulnerable and thinks you've been looking at her and stuff. And there's a whole...
It was a one-second interaction. I never saw her before
but
in my life.
But that interaction creates a whole world of baggage that goes on in her head once you've made that contact. Just saying something to some stranger is automatically sort of affronting. I mean, you put somebody back on their heels when a stranger says anything
but
to
how
you.
Do we, by the way, I mean,
let alone something pseudo-sexual and creepy like you, coming from this giant man stuffed into a clown car. That's been terrifying for her.
I'd love to hear what the Kevin and Bean listeners have to say about this, if they have thoughts on this, at 1-800-520-1067. Please give us a call and weigh in, however you feel. But how do we now live in a world of the 21st century where, what did you say, it's off-putting to have a stranger even talk to you? I mean, is that where we're at right now? Is a person can't say a nice thing to another person without all of a sudden it being suspect and fraught with danger?
No, it's all situational. If you're just saying something to someone in a car while you're passing them, that's creepy. If you met her in a social situation, if you were at a bar or a party or something, and you went up to her and talked to her and said, hi, how are we doing? You know, I meant to say, I noticed from across the room you're very attractive and you look great tonight or something. That's fine if a stranger says it to you. But passing by in a car through a window, it's automatically weird.
Lisa, how about you? You're the young lady in the car. I drive by. You don't know me. I look at you and say, you're pretty. There's no way you interpret that as, wow, that was a really sweet thing for that nice old man to say.
Well, I do think the car thing, there's something about you feel like you are in your own little world in your car and you shouldn't have to be invaded unless you've invited someone in. But on the other side of that, I've had it happen to me a couple of times where I was in a store or something and a man came in and said, I just want to tell you, I saw you walk by and into the store and I just think you are so attractive or whatever. And he said, that's it. And he left.
Nothing wrong
he didn't
with that,
ask
right?
Me out.
You weren't disturbed by that.
Now why is that okay,
like,
at a store,
thrilled.
But not in an even shorter encounter?
Because the way he said it and the fact he didn't want anything else, and he wasn't like, you're pretty.
Can I have your number?
And it was in a public place.
You're right. It's the interaction, the situation of the interaction, it means a lot in terms of how it's interpreted and how it's accepted. There's something about somebody driving by, saying out their window to you as you're going by the opposite direction, you're pretty. It's
okay, just, I wasn't Buzz Aldrining it up, though.
You
it was
are,
just, hey,
you
you're
do,
pretty.
You are and you will.
When you told us you said it, the way you said it was creepy.
You're pretty. Like you're... Like you're like mentally disabled
but we were
or something.
In a public
you're Rain
place,
Man.
Too. You understand we were in a public
yes,
place.
But
it's not
in
public.
Her car.
She's in her car. That's not public for
I
her.
I didn't grab her around a corner with a knife to her neck and say, hey, you're pretty.
No,
you know?
But it's that weird drive-by thing, too, of just saying something, knowing that there could be no further conversation had, and you're just throwing that at her as you go by. It's automatically off-putting. It's just weird.
All right. We got to take a break. Laura,
why do you have to say something anyway? Why can't you just look at a girl and think she's pretty and then just go about your business? Why do you have to impinge upon her with weirdness?
It wasn't my intention. It was absolutely spontaneous. It really was.
I have no control over the words that come out of my mouth.
Well,
you should be in a home, then, if that's the case.
Courtney, you hang on. Isabel, Laura, Letitia, we'll get to all your calls. We'll take a quick break. Come back with more right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's a little bit eye-opening this morning, the suggestion that maybe I have misread a situation.
Yeah, I know.
Shocking.
Imagine that, something involving social interaction with other human beings, and you were off target.
The email is coming in. We got a bunch of calls we're going to get to at 1-800-520-1067. Adrian writes in, your intentions might not have been bad, Bean, but think about how many men have probably done that to her already. Her thought process is probably that you're just another creepy guy trying to get at her, says Adrian.
And she's right.
For those just joining us, what happened was I passed a woman in a situation. I was in my car. She was in her car. We were 10 feet apart. And I said, you're pretty. And she said, F you to me. And I was really shocked by that because I meant no disrespect, no creepiness. I just said she was pretty. To me, that's a compliment. Like, how can you be tired of or angered by or upset by somebody telling you you're pretty?
How can you not recognize that a social interaction being said out of a car window isn't a social interaction at all? It's a drive-by.
Okay, but it
automatically makes it weird because you are – there's no real effort or risk on your end. You don't have to deal with any chance of her rejecting you or saying something or whatever. You're just driving by and throwing something at her out the window. It automatically puts her on the defensive because it's a weird thing.
So had I been walking into the bank and she was walking out of the bank at the same time and I said, you're pretty, same situation?
No, just why does she have to be passing by you? Why can't it ever be something where you're in line with her, in front of her, behind her, and you turn around and say something to her? That means there's some social risk for you as well because you have to stand there and interact with her. This whole drive-by thing you got going on, you say asides of compliments out of the side of your mouth while you're just zooming past someone. It's just weird.
No woman ever sticks around long enough for us to have a conversation, Ralph. You know that.
Well, then don't say anything to women. Just leave them alone, Bean. That's what we're saying.
Let's go to Laura first, please. She's on line 3 from Long Beach at 1-800-520-1067. Laura, thanks so much for calling. Thank you for holding on. Please help me out. What's going on here?
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hi,
Laura.
Okay. So, basically, I do think Bean is super creepy, but I do agree. It was totally unwarranted. I mean, I get it all the time, like just men just randomly through their cars, you know, passing by at the gym, like, and, you know, it is really violating, but I just say thank you and just move on with my day, basically, because I've heard stories of, like, men getting really hostile. So, I mean, that woman could have been attacked from her car. She wouldn't have known.
Yeah, it's true.
So basically, whatever baggage she may have from previous encounters with other men is now being used against me because I tried to give her a compliment.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Once again, Bean is as understanding as ever when it comes to someone's situation. It's her baggage. She's using it against me. Maybe she couldn't help herself, Bean, the way you couldn't help yourself. You had to blurt
out. Point.
You're pretty. Maybe she had to blurt out, F you. Maybe she has the same problem you have.
Thank you, Laura, for the call. But I don't understand why the default position to a safe compliment in an encounter where the woman is in no danger, why is the default position F you? Like, why am I the bad guy for
coming out of a car window? You've put yourself in predator mode. It's a weird thing to have someone say something to you from out of their car window.
All right. Let's go to Tom, please. He's up next. He's on line 7. He's down in Montebello. Hey, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey. First off, rest in peace, monkey.
You will be missed.
R.I.P.
Yeah. I got to agree with Bean. I'm sorry, but yeah, I agree with Lisa and Ralph. It's all about you're just being creepy, but it's also you have to have a delivery on it. I've done what Lisa said about a guy walking up to her and complimenting her, and I've done it. And I've had both reactions. One, they're very, very grateful, saying, thank you very much. That's very sweet of you. Or I've had the deer in headlights look like going, what the hell are you saying?
There is a thing. There is that moment where you go, okay, what do they want?
Right. You don't know what's going
to
happen.
But if they say something nice like that and then say, just wanted to let you know, and leave, it's like, wow, that was
then
kind of amazing.
Then they disarm the situation.
Yeah, completely.
You don't feel threatened like you would from a giant man in a small car yelling at you from the window.
And I never do it. I'd never do it in a car because, like you said, it's like, you know, that's a personal violation of space. Like you're looking at, hey, you're pretty. You might just reach out and grab her or something. But
all right, Tom. But, thanks for the call. Too many rules in this world we now live in, by the way. Can
they're
I say
just,
that?
No, they just to the rest of us, it comes naturally. We know you don't accost someone from a window of a car. It's
but
just
for
weird.
Being their rules.
I know, and he needs
and
a list.
You have to memorize them.
Need a list.
By the way, I was describing the woman in the car and how pretty she was, very Alison Brie type, John writes in, was it Bean's type he was describing or his victim profile?
Yeah,
and I don't think we necessarily need to go there.
That's so appropriate.
All right, let's squeeze in a couple more, please. How about let's go down to Whittier. Our man Curtis is on the line. Line 5, please. Hi, Curtis. You're up next on the Kevin Bean Show. What's going on?
How's it going, guys? Yeah.
Not so well today. Thank you for asking.
What's your take, Curtis?
Well, we're just working our night shift EMTs here, and my partner and I were just talking about coming off and just saying you're pretty. It sounds like a 4-year-old compliment.
It does.
Yeah, it's weird.
Except you're not a 4-year-old. You're a big man in a small car.
Hey.
You're pretty. You're really pretty.
Yeah.
So it's like, why not just say, wow, you look really good today, as you drive by and not even worry about what she's saying. It doesn't even matter what she says.
You're right. You're pretty. It's like of mice and men. It's like he's going to snap the head off a bunny rabbit or something.
Exactly,
you guys. I just said a woman.
You
was
gotta get
pretty.
A little more original with your compliments. You can't just say you're pretty. To
but when you say, but listen, Curtis, when you say you got to get a little bit more original, again, I'm not hitting on her. I wasn't asking her out. I wasn't doing anything but just complimenting her. That's it.
Yeah, but it's dull. It's such a dull compliment. How many times has a girl heard you're pretty in her life? It's like telling a girl, wow, you have pretty eyes. You look pretty. Not, wow, you look great today. And just keep going. Just saying you're pretty just sounds. Like
all right. Thank you very much, Curtis. I appreciate
she's, there's this mentally damaged giant in a car next to her going, you're pretty. Of course she's going to be scared to death.
Paul writes in, our frequent Kevin and Bean listener and contributor Paul Lee, Ralph, writes in, and he's a very smart man, so let's see what he has to say. I think in this day and age, it is inappropriate to comment on the physicality of people. Do not comment on weight, height, attractiveness, or possible disabilities, especially with strangers. This often causes the person to become very self-conscious. Ultimately, it's contextual. If you have a certain degree of familiarity, such as a friend, you may be able to say more, especially complimentary things, but otherwise, it's not appropriate to comment on physicalities. If you wouldn't say, wow, you're ugly to a stranger, you shouldn't say, wow, you're pretty. That's what Paul says.
I'm sorry. I fell asleep halfway through that.
Let's do one more just to get a difference of opinion on from Courtney and Glendora. And I hope that Courtney is speaking for many women who are listening that we did not get a chance to talk to. Hi, Courtney. You have a different of opinion than a lot of people we've talked to, right?
Yeah. Hi, Dean. Hi, Ralph. Hi, Lisa Mae.
Hey,
good
Courtney.
Morning.
All right. Yeah, I personally don't agree with anyone because I get compliments sometimes, like while I'm driving or while I'm walking, and I think it's not really too much of a personal invasion of privacy. I just say thank you, and I smile and wave. But if, like, I think because Dean was driving by, I think he wasn't, like, going out of his way to follow this girl to tell her she's pretty. That would be creepy. I think that since he was actually just passing by and it was
thank
a thought
you.
That popped into his head.
Thank you, Courtney.
I think it was nice. I mean, yeah, maybe you are creepy, but, you know.
I think it's very
think
sweet.
It
By
nice
the way,
gesture.
I didn't mention, I also did have my penis out at the time.
See?
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
This is sad, Ralph. I hadn't even thought about this before.
What was that?
Catherine writes in, I was unable to write when you guys were on the topic about Bean complimenting the young woman in the car, but I wanted to say that a common attitude among many women these days seems to be whether or not a compliment is acceptable varies in relation to how attractive the receiver finds the giver.
Oh, sure. That's always a fact.
I have several female coworkers. When a certain older man pays them a compliment, no matter how innocent, they think he's a creep. But if a younger, better-looking guy pays them a compliment, then they're flattered all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's just that I was horrible. Maybe that's what was going on there.
Or when you're 100, she's really going to be flattered when a girl you say that to a girl because you'd be the coolest old man in the
be
world.
Be the coolest. Exactly. Hey, the very funny Ian Edwards in studio with us. He's joining us right after the top of the hour. One of my very favorite new comics. I'm so happy that he's here.
So
that's
funny.
Coming up. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday. What's happening?
Really quickly on that call-in topic we did about Bean creeping out that girl in the car. Eric writes in, Ralph, I think you're all missing the main point. Don't most people, male and female, want to spontaneously tell Bean to F off whether they know him or not? That's true. That is the general reaction most people have to him.
So it almost doesn't matter what I said.
No,
the response
no.
would have been F you.
You could have said, do you know it? You know how to get to the nearest? Bleh, 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 F you. And the first thing she said.
First weekend of summer, by the way. Summer starts tomorrow. Mike Catherwood joins us later on today for the Psycho Body. He can whip you into shape overnight so that you're ready for bikini weather. That'll be later on this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. And right around 9:10, we're also going to hook you up with qualification for K-Rock's Road Trip USA 2014. Stop number one, it's Lollapalooza in Chicago. You can get more details at krock.com. All right, 7:38, Friday morning. Let's do it. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
Not that there's anything creepy about me, but I do happen to enjoy death. And that's why we do this feature, Bean's Death Corner, from time to time. Amanda Ezra was her name, Lisa May, 24 years old, mother of three, had kind of a tough time, but was getting her life on track, was enrolled at a nearby community college and was going out for a night with a friend where she may have tied one on, may have been a little bit too drunk for her own good. She's sitting in the passenger seat on somebody's lap, and she starts to feel sick. So she sticks her head out of the window of the moving car to throw up and hits a telephone pole and is instantly murdered. Instantly killed. Hitting a telephone pole. That's just bad. That's just bad timing, right? Night of drinking with your friends. You're out there.
Can you imagine being somebody else in the car when that happened too? You'd never get that out of your head.
No, you never would. You just stick your head out the window at the wrong time. Very, very sad, especially with all the kids and only being 24 years old. Here's something to think about as we're into now, I think, the high school reunion season. Mm-hmm. Lori Moore was introducing her new boyfriend, Lance Griffel. This is in East Peoria, Illinois, to old friends at a high school reunion on Saturday when her ex-husband arrived at the party and shot both of them dead.
Oh my God.
This is the worst high school reunion ever. It was the class of 1999 at East Peoria Community High School, and she shows up with her new boyfriend. The ex-husband shows up. By the way, there was an off-duty FBI officer at the scene who did have a gun. This is one of those stories you don't hear him very often. You know, you always talk about how more people need to have guns. This is one of those stories where there was somebody at the party who had a gun and was able to shoot the gunman dead right in front of about 100 startled witnesses. I say that. We don't know, of course, whether he was going to go on and shoot anybody else or if he was just there for the couple. But very tragic story. Really the worst high school reunion ever.
Were they high school sweethearts, does it say?
It doesn't say. I think what happened, I think what happened is that the husband who was the shooter was the high school sweetheart of the ex-wife. And then she showed up with somebody else. And I think that was just more than he could handle. We go to Fresno, California for the next story. And this one is bizarre. Here's a guy who's on trial for burglary, and the jury convicted the other burglars in his trial. They were hung on whether he should be found guilty or not. 8-4 was where they were on whether Bobby Lee Pearson was also guilty of the burglary. Unfortunately, the jury accidentally filled out the paperwork in the jury room incorrectly and marked him as not guilty. Now, you would think that that would be good news for the man because now he's free to go, which he did. He was released from jail. He went home to get some clothing and belongings. And apparently at home, he got into a fight with his sister's boyfriend, where the sister's boyfriend stabbed and killed the man found dead at the scene.
How long had he been out? Like an hour?
Yes. Yes. He went right from the courtroom to the house and got into a fight and was killed. So what a crazy day for him to wake up and be on trial and not know how it was going to go and then get to the fantastic news. Hey, you've been found not guilty, even though it was a mistake and the judge had no choice but to let him go because it had already been put on the record that he was not guilty. And then to go home and, boy, you think your life's turning around. You think it's finally your lucky day. Next thing you know, you get stabbed. He was on trial for burglarizing an apartment last year and stealing a video system, by the way. That's what was on trial, and now he's dead because of it.
He clearly cannot get along with people.
It certainly sounds that way, doesn't it?
Yes.
Here's a bizarre story for this week's Death Corner out of Odell, Texas. I wish I knew what the circumstances of this were, but 31-year-old Nicholas Cruz is driving his car along the road. 26-year-old Christina Munoz is driving her car along the road in the opposite direction. They collide. Both are killed. They were married.
Oh, man.
How insane is that, that of all the people in the world, you're out and you get into a head-on collision with your own spouse and both are killed at the scene?
That's just freaky.
Like, what are the chances? It was about 3 miles west of Odell, Texas, near a farm where both people worked. Now, again, unclear what any of the other circumstances were. I mean, what can you say about that? I mean, even if they knew the other person was out there, you don't expect you're going to get into an accident and die. I mean, it's just, it's insane. What are the chances? And I just had this vision of them pulling one of them out of the car and going, well, we better notify the spouse. And they take that person's phone out and they dial the person's spouse. And then the phone rings in the other car.
That's a movie.
It sounds like a movie, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And finally, this is a message for those of you who are internet dating. I know it's about the most popular way in the world to meet somebody these days, and usually it ends up going pretty well. Not so much for this French national. Her name is, or I should say her name was, Mina El Harari. She had been planning a first date for weeks. She is 25 years old. She lives in southeastern France, and she had been chatting online with a handsome suitor from Morocco. In fact, it had progressed so well online that she bought a plane ticket to fly to Morocco to meet her in person. She arrived in Fez, which is Morocco's third largest city, on May 19th, booked herself into a five-star hotel, and then headed out to meet her date. Here's how the article proceeds next. The evening was about to take a disastrous turn. Within hours, Ms. El Harari would be buried alive in the man's backyard, slowly suffocating to death.
You know how you have the worst fear of waking up in the middle of surgery? Buried alive is my worst, worst, worst.
Buried alive is a bad deal. Now, on the surface, when you only hear what I've just described, you think, well, this is some sort of predator creep. This is a guy who lures women into his apartment and then kills them. Here's what happened, though, and tell me if this changes your mind about this man who has not been named, by the way. He told police that the evening was going well, and they were having dinner at his home, and then Miss El Harari suddenly and inexplicably keeled over and collapsed. He thought she's dead, and he panicked about how to dispose the body, so he decided he was going to bury her in the back garden. He did not realize, by the way, that she was not dead. She was still breathing. It turned out that she was a diabetic, and she had gone into a diabetic coma. He thought she was dead, so he buried her out in the backyard.
Why wouldn't he call 911?
That is my question.
What's wrong with him? What? You don't just take someone and bury him in the yard.
Well, I guess she's dead. What do I do now?
Is he running from the police so he can't call?
It doesn't say that here. The man said nothing of the tragedy. Nobody knew about it until Ms. El Harari's relatives started thinking, hey, wait a minute. She's been in Morocco for a little bit longer than we expected. So they filed a missing persons report, and they provided enough information to the police that they were able to show up. They interviewed the man. They raided his home. They found muddy trousers and a shovel in his home before unearthing the gruesome crime scene. He has confessed to what happened, still claiming he did nothing to hurt the woman, only buried her because he thought she was dead, but he has nonetheless been charged with involuntary manslaughter.
At the least.
That is not the greatest online dating story that I've ever heard.
Holy crap.
But that is this week's all-new Beans Death Corner.
That was Beans Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
I want to give you a heads up. Tonight at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I return with Hollywood Babylon.
No.
We do our podcast in front of a live audience almost every week there at the Improv, and we'd love to have you come out and join us. Just a couple seats are left if you'd like to
go.
No,
sir. It's not right.
It is right. You're going to have a good time. 10 p.m. tonight. Go to improv.com. Click on Hollywood on the Hollywood Club, and you can get your tickets for tonight's show. And then we're out of town for a couple of weeks, so if you want to see it, this would be a good week to come. And speaking of podcasts, I want to thank my buddy Chris Hardwick. He had me on his Nerdist podcast recently.
Yay!
That just got posted today, so if you want to check that out, we had a good time. I think you'll enjoy that as well. Chris is just—he's great.
He's the best.
He's great, and it's very nice because our podcast, the one Kevin and I do, it's a show. We do it in front of an audience, and we play for laughs, and we do a lot of wacky stuff and all. But with Chris, it's so nice. You just sit down there, and you just sit down, and you talk, and you have this interesting conversation. He's great.
Kind of a drop-off, though, from his recent gets of Tom Cruise and Morgan Freeman, you got to admit.
I think it's a natural progression. I think you increase the star power, and then boom.
I was seeing Race to the Bottom. That's what I was seeing, but okay.
Well, no, that's ridiculous. Why would that be that case? American Apparel. Have you been finding this story at all?
Yes.
Following
this
story
is the creepy CEO they fired for telling a girl she was pretty.
He's hilarious.
Dove Charney is Bean as a CEO.
Uh-huh. How dare you?
Of a clothing company. He has been fired, and there's this ongoing investigation. We're starting to find out more and more about this guy. And it's not stunning that he got fired. It's how did he keep his job for so long? Over the past 10 years, New York's magazine The Cut says he has been the target of several lawsuits and numerous allegations for sexual misbehavior. For example, and there's many, but I'll just point out this one. In 2004, they were doing a magazine profile on him, and he repeatedly and openly masturbated in front of the reporter while they were interviewing him.
Oh, my God. I hadn't heard that.
Yes. So tell me about this, how you're paying your garment workers fair wages or not. Well, he's just sitting there just going at it.
Penis.
Exactly, Lisa. That's my point.
Have you seen the videos of him in his office dancing naked?
Yeah.
Have you seen those? That was happening, too.
I heard that either. I just heard a clip of him talking. It was an NPR interview, and he was like, I can't believe I still have my job. I'm my own worst enemy.
A ton of female employees have...
Is he the one that said they burn clothes so homeless people won't wear them?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah. I can't believe they didn't fire him long ago. Yeah.
So I'm just saying every business has their bean, I guess is what I'm trying to get at.
I don't really like the characterization there at all.
Jerry Goffin, the lyricist, who was married to Carole King throughout the 60s, and the two of them wrote dozens of hits together. He passed away this week at the age of 75. Huge body of work, everything from The Locomotion to We Used to Love Me Tomorrow, Up on the Roof, Pleasant Valley Sunday for the Monkees, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman by Aretha Franklin. That was theirs. Tremendous. He also wrote, what was that Whitney Houston smash hit that he co-wrote?
I don't know which one he was part of. Like The Greatest Love of All or one of those?
That's it. No, it wasn't The Greatest Love of All.
I Will Always Love You?
I Will Always Love You. No, that was
Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Damn it. I wish I had this information in front of me. But he wrote one of her smash hits as well and passed away this week.
Saving All My Love for You.
Thank you. Wow. Saving All My Love for You. That was
I have a clip of that for folks who aren't familiar with that Whitney, the great Whitney hit from
the
90s.
No, we're okay. We don't really need to hear it. I think we're fine. We can all imagine what that sounds like.
Lisa! We're going to put her on our shoulders and walk her around the room.
But Lisa, is this because you knew what it was really going to be?
English teacher wanted to flunk me in junior high. Thanks a lot. Next semester I'll be 35. I smacked him in his face with an eraser, chased him with a stapler, and told him to change the grade on the paper.
Yeah.
One of Jerry Goffin's best.
Boy, that Whitney, she was a talent, huh?
Sure.
What a loss.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Oscar-winning actor Martin Landau, 86 years old today. Singer Brian Wilson, legendary. Leader of the Beach Boys, 72.
Think he's having pudding today? What do you think's going on with Brian?
Yeah, he loves pudding. Lionel Richie, 65. John Goodman, 62. Nicole Kidman's 47 years old today. Director Robert Rodriguez is 46. Actor Josh Lucas turns 43. Chino Moreno of Deftones is 41. And Christopher Mintz-Plasse celebrates his 25th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz.
Mike Catherwood joins us in studio in 1 hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show with the Psycho Body. Been a long time since we've done that. Give you a chance to get pumped up. Right now, though, very excited to welcome for his first appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show. Comedian Ian Edwards is here, ladies and gentlemen. His new album is out right now. It is called 100% Half-Assed, and you can see Ian at the Comedy Store in Hollywood for two big shows this weekend, tonight and tomorrow night. Go to thecomedystore.com for tickets. Just $20. Hey, Ian, how are you, man?
What's good, man? How's it going, player?
It's going great. It's a pleasure to have you. I think I told you off-air that I am a new rabid fan. You are my favorite comedy discovery this year, and it must be weird for you, a guy who's been doing comedy for like 15 years, to kind of all of a sudden have this moment where lots of people, not just me, are kind of discovering you. What's it been like for you the last few weeks?
Well, it's just better to be discovered than undiscovered, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I've had a long time of people not knowing who I am. A lot of people still don't know who I am, but at least this is the beginning of, like, getting introduced to new fans, so I'll take it.
Yeah, and I think what it was for me, and probably for a lot of people, is just, you know, much was made of the fact that you had this comedy album coming out, and it was coming out from Conan O'Brien's record label, and
right.
and I think, you know, having his approval, his stamp right. of approval on you as a funny guy makes the rest of us go, whoa, what does Conan know that we don't know? Let's check this dude out.
Right.
And is that what you've been finding? Is that kind of was like the breakthrough for a lot of people?
Yeah, well, when I decided to do it with them, I was hoping that would be one of the perks.
Right.
Like, you know, like I'm stupid, but I'm not that stupid. You know what I'm saying? So I figured it would just open people's eyes and create more opportunities. And definitely it has. Like, I'm on here and I'm just doing other interviews and I get a chance to put out an album that has more of a chance of getting heard than, you know, other friends of mine who are really funny that put out their own album.
Right.
But they don't have that platform.
Yeah, you need distribution, absolutely. You can go to teamcoco.com, teamcoco.com, and I will guarantee it's the best $5 you'll spend today. You can buy the new Ian Edwards album called 100% Half-Assed. Now, you got an interesting background. I'm always fascinated to talk to people about the way they grew up.
I got a sexy background. Go ahead.
You do. Started out in England.
Yeah.
And then moved to Jamaica at what age?
I moved to Jamaica when I was like 9 years old.
Oh, so you had quite a bit of time in Britain before Jamaica.
Yeah, yeah.
So you really have. So you've really split it up. So you had a number of years in Britain, a number of years in Jamaica, now a number of years in America. So you really know what it's like to live kind of all over the world.
Yeah, I'm really mixed up. Yeah.
tell me about Jamaica. It's a place we only know as a vacation spot. What's it like to actually live there?
Well, it's a beautiful place. You're like, really, like where I lived is like there's like very a lot of nature. Like we had goats in the backyard. We grew stuff in the backyard, like sugar cane. We had to take the goats up the hill to another piece of land to tie them out to feed them. Then mm-hmm. we'd go to school. It's like, I don't know if the word is rural. It wasn't farmish, but I guess it wasn't farmish to us. But compared to, I guess, like just being in Hollywood, it's completely different.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
And the weather's amazing. And, you know, good people, you know, but not as rich as America.
Right.
Like, I think my parents came here for opportunities.
Oh, so your folks moved here. You came here with the parents. It's not like you grew up and said, I'm hitting the road.
I didn't say, like, I'm out. Yeah.
Okay.
But what a nice change from England.
Well, Jamaica. Yeah. Well, England wasn't bad. We had indoor plumbing in England. In Jamaica,
we had
outdoor plumbing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But you were warmer.
I was warmer, yeah. In Jamaica, you're warmer in the rain than you are in England in the summertime.
Right.
That makes sense. Yeah. Do they have a lot of American pop culture in Jamaica? Has it spread down there? I mean, are you guys watching the same TV shows we are and listening to the same music and everything else?
Yeah, everything. Like, you get the music videos. You have everything. Like, the whole world is Americanized. Even in Korea, where they probably pretend to hate Americans, it's all Americanized everything. Right. Like, we get their shows. So I had like a hint of what America was going to be, a major hint of what America was going to be like before I moved here.
Yeah, I bet America is one of the few places in the world where you move and you've seen a lot of it already because of the entertainment that's exported. When did you start out, as far as you can remember, when did you realize that you were a funny dude?
It was kind of like a method of survival. Like, I was in America, and I was trying to assimilate to this new society. And I had a friend who worked next to me that everybody loved because he was funny. And he would make people laugh. Another way you could make people or start conversations with people was through knowing music and knowing sports. So I got to know music. I got to know sports. And Greg, the guy that worked the fries, was funny as hell. You know what I'm saying? Greg on fries. Everybody was over by the fries. And I turned my head and just look at this audience. I'm like, I'm not even getting the stuff that I need to make these burgers to fill these orders because everybody's on fry side.
Right.
You only need one guy on the fries, y'all. So then so I was like, oh, he's funny.
I'll just do that? Because a lot of people can't really do that.
What?
Just turn it on.
No, but it's just... It just made me realize it was one of my first observations that was important to my life.
That's so interesting. It's almost like you had a how to be popular book, and you're like, all right, music, check, sports, check, funny,
gotta be
check.
Funny.
I think I've always been like a logical person. Like, if you listen to my jokes, I think the things you might like about it, some of it makes logical sense. So sometimes you're doing things you're not even aware of. Mm-hmm. So I'm like looking at this, it's like, how do you, like, and it took a minute. Like, I'm at this job. It's a Burger King. And you're talking to people. You're saying hi and bye. And that's not good enough. You know, like, so, hey, pass me some lettuce. You got to get some patties out the freezer. It's like, you don't feel social at all.
Right.
It's like, so there's a logical way and there's steps to make that you can be social. And I was checking them out. So I was like, okay, people are talking about music.
That is interesting.
People are laughing. And I said, all right, tap into your funny side. You could be funny. You were funny in Jamaica.
Right.
You know, just get comfortable and be funny.
Now, it's a very difficult profession to get into. I mean, anybody can go up on stage and do their, you know, 5 minutes on an open mic night. But mm-hmm. most people never advance past that to be able to make a living doing it. Was it a long slog for you, or did it come relatively easy and you were able to start supporting yourself doing comedy?
Well, the first few years, I didn't expect to make money. And the beauty of working at Burger King and going straight to comedy is that my parents can't be like, you left law school to do comedy.
They were not disappointed.
You know, so I set them up lovely.
You know? Right, exactly.
I was like, I'm working at Burger King. I'm going to do comedy. All right. It's not a step down, but it ain't a step up. But it's a step.
So, how long did you stick with Burger King? How long did you stick doing both?
I was at Burger King too long.
Yeah.
And I'm probably doing comedy too long. So I got a bad habit of doing things too long.
Why did it take you so long, Ian, to finally put out an album?
Because I'm 100% half-assed.
Okay, I guess that's right there in the title, right?
Yeah. Explanatory. Yeah.
You're probably, are you a guy who has a lot of things that you're going to get to one day?
Yeah, yeah. I got a long to-do list. My Love life it. Is an unfulfilled to-do list.
Ian Edwards is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. His new album is called 100% Half-Assed. You can get it at teamcoco.com for just $5. You can see the man himself live on stage at the Comedy Store in Hollywood. Two shows this weekend, tonight and tomorrow night at Comedy Store, thecomedystore.com. And then I'm now being told that you're going to be at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood next week. And you can get tickets for those shows at laughfactory.com. They're available online now. Take a quick break, more with Ian when we return right after this on K-Rock. Comedian Ian Edwards in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. His album is out now on Team Coco Records. Go to teamcoco.com to buy 100% half-assed for just $5. Here's a taste.
I don't know how many people here have ever been to Jamaica. It's a beautiful island, you know what I'm saying, if you visit. But if you grow up there, you grow up poor. It's a third world country in some parts. Like, I grew up so poor that if I complained to my homies that I had food poisoning, that was considered a humble brag that I ate food. What? You had food poisoning? What did it taste like? And you throw up. That means you get to taste it twice. You're lucky.
When you were editing the album to put out, Ian, uh-huh. How much did you end up hating that woman in your audience who's just cackling?
You know, it's funny. I was just thinking about that.
Just keep hearing her every time you make her laugh. That's funny. It's a great album, 100% half-assed. Hey, I wanted to ask you what you think. All comedians have influences and are aware of what else is going on in the world of comedy. What do you make of this Dave Chappelle comeback lately? This 9 big shows at Radio City Music Hall. What do you think of Dave and what he's doing now?
Yeah, I wouldn't even consider it a comeback. He's a legend, like an enigma, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's the most interesting comic in the world.
I think so, too. I think so, too. Tell me, I mean, do you know Dave at all?
Yeah, I came up with Dave, and it's just, I think quitting the show did more for him than staying with the show, because people still cannot comprehend it.
Yeah.
And it just made him very interesting. And then he does these things where he'll just pop up and start doing shows, and people will start texting and tweeting, and then people will just come down, and then he'll go for like 5 hours, like in a show. Like at the Laugh Factory, he did like maybe like 6 hours one night.
It's unbelievable.
And the people can ask him questions, and he'll answer them, and he has funny answers, and then he'll just disappear again for another 6 months.
Yeah.
And he'll just pop up somewhere else in another part of the country.
I've been watching his, his recent appearances on the late night shows, and he did a terrific interview with Letterman a couple weeks ago, yeah. And then a more recent one with Fallon. And he's as funny as he's ever been. He's so sharp, so quick.
Right.
But because of what happened with his show, because of the, you know, the mystery surrounding now he's living in South Africa or whatever it was. I mean, we all feel like he's always on the edge of a nervous breakdown.
It's Ohio, but yeah, I would consider Ohio South Africa.
No, but you know what I mean. He did go to Africa for a while and then come back and everything. But I mean, I think we always feel like he's fragile or something. But I think the conclusion I'm starting to draw from seeing this most recent round of interviews is he's not fragile at all. He's more in control than he's ever been,
right.
And he's just on his own timetable. He's just decided, right. I can turn it on and be Dave Chappelle, funny man on stage when I want, but I don't have to do that, and I'm happy to walk away from it too if I feel like doing it for a year or 5 years.
Right, and I think everybody admires that, and that's what the thing is about, because we all want to be on our own timetable, but
right.
We are all on the treadmill trying to make it. When somebody gets off it, they appear to us crazy at first, but you know, when they're managing it, and he literally does what he wants. Like I ran into him at Coachella, and he rented out some houses for him and his friends. And then I went over there one night, like on a Saturday, after the Friday night show. Uh-huh. And then he was staying in a house, and next door was Skrillex staying at a house because he was playing at Coachella.
Right.
And then Skrillex through a party where he DJed, and Dave and us, we went over there, and we hung out in Skrillex's backyard all night while he DJed. And I'm like, this is the life this dude is living.
Yeah.
You know? And I bet you were a part of it that weekend, but I bet that he has crazy situations like that all the time in his life.
He has a Skrillex weekend every weekend.
It's so fascinating to watch what happens to so many comedians, and I think oftentimes it's the classic art versus commerce. They bump up against each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, you look at a guy like Marc Maron, whose career has never been hotter. His podcast has never been more popular. His TV show is great, but he still seems like he's drowning. You know what I mean? He still seems at odds with everything in the world. And I think sometimes it's tough for comedians to find a balance between what they want professionally and trying to get some happiness personally. I don't know what it is about you guys, but it seems like you have trouble firing on all cylinders.
Well, Mark is neurotic.
Yes.
And I think, but he also knows that his neuroticism is his attraction. So he'll never give up being neurotic, because there's probably a neurotic fear, an ironic neurotic fear, that if I give up being neurotic, then people won't be attracted to listening to me. So I guess he's fine with staying in that. You know, his TV show's like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like when a rapper gets rich. Do I still rap like I'm poor?
That's right.
Because that's why people like me in the first place. So, you know, there's always that thing.
Yeah, you're right. The 50 Cent first album, you take what you know about that guy and the life he's lived into it. But then 10 albums later and $50 million of smart water later, how do you believe anything he says, right?
Right, exactly.
Same sort of thing. Now, a lot of these guys, and I'm thinking of, you know, Mark again and Louis C.K. and so many others, they really are not. They really go deep sometimes into their actual lives and their actual problems. Do you have boundaries of what you share with your real life? Is everything just is anything off limits for you in terms of what you talk about on stage?
I hope now. I'm trying to get more honest. I'm trying to get deeper, and I want to push the boundaries. So on the next album, hopefully it will reflect that, because I think my favorite people. Or comics like Richard Pryor, or just people, period, or Patrice O'Neill. They were just super honest people on and off stage. And especially when you used to talk to Patrice, it just made you want to be honest. And I saw the value in that.
Is there some therapeutic value in standing up on stage and just bearing it all in front of an audience?
Yeah. And in different ways. Like when I listen to a set, you know, at night after I drive home, first of all, I got to force myself to listen to myself. I said, what did I just put this poor audience through? And then you can hear your flaws. Mm-hmm. And then there's not many jobs where every day you could drive home and listen to your flaws. Maybe you don't like the way you talk. Maybe you don't like the way what you said. There's going to be good things on there that you can take, but you also have to learn how to accept your flaws. And that's one of the therapeutic things about it. And plus, like, if I yell at an audience member because they were talking, and maybe they did deserve to be yelled at, I don't always have to yell at an audience member. Mm-hmm. There's ways of making fun of them where they can laugh too. So then you realize where your ego came into play and where you got angry than maybe you should have, even though it worked and the audience loved it. You learn things like that.
It is interesting. I mean, comedians, and I know we're almost out of time here with comedian Ian Edwards, and we'll tell you where you can see him again.
I know.
I'm sad too. But it's interesting. I think sometimes of comedians are like professional athletes, and no matter how great a game you have, if you watch the tape, you can always see how you could have done a better job with that layup, or you know, or not swung at that bad pitch, or whatever it is. I mean, it is a work in progress, and I guess you have to be pretty thick-skinned to be able to kind of subject yourself to that kind of evaluation every night.
Yeah, man. I mean, I like the athlete comparison. So, girls, you hear that? I'm like an athlete. Just don't forget that. I'll bring that up, too. I'm going to use that.
Okay. All right. Ian Edwards is going to be athleting for you at the Comedy Store in Hollywood with two shows this weekend. You're going to be in the main room tonight. This, by the way, says at thecomedystore.com, 14 headlining comedians this weekend? What's that about?
They just, you know, there's a ton of Comedy Store regulars, and on Saturday night and Friday night, they just give you, and the Laugh Factory does it too. Like, they're all headliners. Like, guys that could be on the road doing an hour are in town that weekend, and they're all on the same show. So it's the most you can get for your money. Like, if you go to the movies, which I love the movies, you're not going to get – you're guaranteed to laugh. If, say if you only like half the comics on the lineup, that's still a lot more laughter than going to see a comedy at the movie theater and spending all that, you know.
You're still getting your money's worth if it's only $20, that's for sure. So this weekend at the Comedy Store in Hollywood, and then you're going to be Tuesday and Wednesday, June 24th and 25th, you're going to be at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. And those tickets are just $17 at laughfactory.com. Ian, it's great to finally meet you. I wish we had more time, but please come back and see us again. We really enjoyed it.
I'm down for sure. I'll be back, player.
Thanks, man. What are we listening to, Muggs? What is that?
That was Big Data. Dangerous.
I like it. I like it. On the world-famous K-Rock for a Friday morning here on 106.7 KROQ, the Psycho Body, just after 9 o'clock. More chances for you to qualify for Lollapalooza in Chicago as well. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a while since he stopped by, but with his new film Rover in limited release in theaters, our friend Robert Pattinson joins us. Hey, Robert, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right.
Are you still a little bit depressed, or are you okay?
I live within a prison of my own fame. But
that's right. I forgot about that.
Besides that, it's life's good. I feel charmed.
I saw an article the other day. We have a bunch of topics we want to run by you real quick since you're here, Robert. And that is, one thing is that none of your movies and none of Kristen Stewart, your co-star from Twilight, either of your movies have done anything. It's almost as if Twilight is what people love you for and they don't care about you as an actor or a person otherwise.
Yeah, it hurts me. I feel like I've got a certain bit of talent, but it gets overshadowed by almost cartoonish nature of the movies that I was made famous from, and that's the Twilight series. And it hurts me. But
it's not you. Yeah.
Whenever I feel down, I feel depressed, I'll do cocaine out of a beautiful girl's crack.
Well,
does that help?
It does.
It doesn't hurt, I'll tell you that.
It makes me feel very, very good. By the way, you look beautiful today, Lisa.
Thank you.
Really?
I was thinking of something else, but thank you.
You've never looked better. I've come in this studio probably 7 times, I think. Mm-hmm. And
don't hit on.
Never looked more beautiful.
Don't hit on, Lisa.
There's only going to be 7 planets after I destroy Uranus.
Okay, Robert.
Good Lord. Does that work for you?
Does it work for you is a better question.
That is a good question.
You were on with Seth Meyers on his late night show the other day, and a couple of things came up in the interview, Robert. If you don't mind, we'd like
big
some
package that Seth Meyers.
I'm not interested in going there. But
What do you know?
Well, we do want to ask
legs
you.
Crossed behind the all right. desk, and he had some tight fitting trousers on. I said,
you could
kind of that's a bit of an impressive bonus.
Over here, you guys.
Oh,
all right, listen up.
Good work.
So one of the things that you brought up with Seth Meyers is about when you first moved to Los Angeles, you were renting a room at the Magic Castle of all places, and here's what you said about this, and I thought this was interesting.
I think a friend of mine was a magician. He was part of the Magic Circle and said to stay there. I used to be friends with all the hookers who lived down the street.
The hookers were your first friends in L.A., Robert?
That's right. Well, and by friends, I mean I used to pay them for sex.
I see. Well,
that's a little different.
That's how it works with hookers. You know, they're fairly easy.
It's true. I came to Los Angeles, and even though I hadn't really worked yet, I'm so disarmingly good looking that normal women really wouldn't do it for me. They'd lie there and think that they had won the lottery, that I had, been providing them coitus. So I needed to step my game up. I enjoyed doing, 3-4 women at a time. Sometimes men, it didn't really matter. I was living on the edge. And
real women can't believe that you're real. They feel like they're just in a dream, so they just kind of space out.
Sometimes I would buy a hooker. I wouldn't even have sex with her. I'd just throw cold cuts at her.
Well, I don't know how that's fun for anybody. All right, and here's the real revelation of the interview you did with Seth Meyers. Believe it or not, Twilight's Robert Pattinson here talks about his early rap days.
When you were younger, you wanted to be a rapper?
Yeah, 100%.
100%.
Yeah, I still kind of do.
You still kind of do? You have that. You have a rapper's energy about you.
I did. I was cool. Rapping Big Tub.
That was, Big Tub, was that your rap name?
That was my rap name.
Big Tub?
Yeah.
Did you pick last?
Big Tub, Robert?
That's right.
Where did that come from?
Well, one time I had a 3-way in a giant bathtub with Chris Angel and Pat O'Brien.
That's a terrible 3-way.
I know. which I don't know why I said that. I was living at the Magic Castle, hence Chris Angel, who was there performing.
Oh, right.
I see.
And
okay.
You
like,
lived at the Magic Castle?
That's right.
I didn't know anybody lived there.
We just went over that about 3 minutes ago.
I was so bedazzled by your good looks, Lisa.
I just spaced out.
Kevin's in Brazil. You might take over for him. Just not pay attention during
right.
the interview. I get it.
So what about this rapping, though? Because I have to be honest, you can barely stay awake long enough to deliver a line of dialogue in a movie. I can't picture you actually rapping.
Well, you hit on something at the beginning of the interview. You said that I haven't really done much with my movie career outside of Twilight. That's because I've been focusing so much on my rap career. Big Tub's really about to blow up. Crack, crack, crack. Swag.
What is Big Tub rapping sound like?
Well, I actually, I've got some stuff I've been working on. I had my producer, Scott Storch, send it over.
Oh, Scott Storch is producing for you, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dark Gable, Scott Storch, all the best. And emailed it over to Beer Mug.
All right, so if we could listen to a little bit of Robert Pattinson rapping as Big Tub.
Straight up out Transylvania, this is the height of Pattinson mania. Breaking you off with my AK-47, my 9mm, making all dogs go to heaven. R-Pats, call me Tony Montana. I'm slanging that yay from LA to Atlanta. Call Us Weekly, call TMZ, cause I'm banging every bitch that ever danced on BET. Team Edward, on the street slanging dope. Fully automatic red beam laser scope, and it's pointed at your pee-pee. I'm sipping that scissor, and it makes me hella sleepy. Sunlight, turn my skin into diamonds, stashing all my paper in the Cayman Islands, cause I'm G like that. And you gotta know that Kristen Stewart's vagina is fat. Seriously, it looks weak. When you take her panties off, it hits her kneecap.
Oh,
hella curtains, yo.
Oh, come on.
Call the butcher shop. Where's Sam the Butcher?
All right.
I got the beef right there up in her chones.
What?
Blah, blah, blah. Big Tubs.
Okay.
Recognize. 2014. Bitch,
Are you?
Tell that dog boy to break himself. I'm a vampire. I'll suck your blood. What? I'll suck your blood. I drink champagne.
All right, Big Tub, good luck with that.
Yeah, wah-wah.
The Psycho Buddy with our friend Mike Catherwood right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. He's going to pump you up, Ralph.
Mike's looking swole, by the way. He must be hitting the weights extra hard or
really?
Something.
Really? More than usual? He's
swole? Always been buff. Now he's looking big, man. Something's up.
Are you a little jealous?
You think he's taking some?
I don't know. I think
probably, right?
I don't know. I think
a little turned on, maybe.
Something. I don't know. Something's going on. I think he's working the spike again or something.
Yep.
I don't know. Something's happening.
Well, we'll find out. That's right after the top of the hour. Plus your chance to qualify for Lollapalooza in Chicago. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Now here's Ralph.
Maybe it's all that baby lifting.
They can be heavy.
It's extra weight, man.
That's right.
It's just that little extra few pounds he needed to put him over the top. Now he's gargantuan. All right. What are you doing tonight at 10 p.m.? I'll tell you what you're doing tonight at 10 p.m. You're coming to see me and Kevin Smith do Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose. No,
one more.
Believe it or not, I'm not listening to you.
You can go to improv.com and click on Hollywood, the Hollywood Club there, and get your tickets for tonight's show. It's our last show for a while because we are going overseas. We're going to London and Birmingham in England, and then Dublin, Ireland. We're performing shows all over the UK.
That'll be so cool.
It's going to be very cool. I'm really looking forward to it.
That is absolutely not true.
It is true. You know me. I don't lie. Oh, my goodness. Hot fudge. Holy moly.
Wow.
Hot fudge. Holy moly. Hey, what's going on? Hot fudge. Holy moly. I'm going to have some fun.
Very exciting news. Oh, I can't wait. Lifetime Network has announced.
Yes.
The unauthorized Saved by the Bell story.
Yay!
A behind-the-scenes tell-all made-for-TV movie about what really happened on the set of Saved by the Bell. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I don't know much about Saved by the Bell, but
I don't want to talk to you.
All of those very attractive people making that TV show, there had to be a lot of hookups,
yes,
right?
They're all young and beautiful and hopped up on goofballs.
just going at it. I don't know anything about it, but I'm looking forward to this. They've just announced the cast. Dylan Everett from Degrassi, The Next Generation, will be playing Mark Paul Gosselaar. And Sam Kinseth from Shameless will be Dustin Diamond. Though, I'll tell you, Lisa Lynch, who's playing Tiffany Amber Thiessen in the mm-hmm. thing. No comparison. Yeah. Can't beat that Kelly Kapowski right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's tough. Tough to beat.
She is
tough.
One of a kind. Chelsea Handler's got a new gig. It's funny. She couldn't make it on television, so now she's going to the internet. Netflix has announced she will be starring on her new unfiltered talk show starting in early 2016. So get your calendars out. Meanwhile, she's going to do a couple specials for Netflix, the burgeoning network, and that's where she ended up. After she didn't want to do cable. She got fed up with cable, so she moved to the internet. She's going
now,
in the wrong direction.
I know you hate Chelsea Handler.
No, she's not funny. She's horrible.
I understand why. But was her show doing poorly on TV? I thought
she was doing great on E.
Yeah, so when you say she couldn't make it on TV, I mean, she's the one who chose to walk away from her show, right?
Right. She said, I'm going to go pursue all these other deals. I'm getting all these other opportunities, all these other offers I'm getting mm-hmm. on television. I'm going to get a better deal than I'm getting at E. And now she's going to be on Netflix.
And you don't think Netflix, I mean, they're certainly not a network. They're not E. But
no,
don't
not.
You think they're becoming more and more a legitimate entertainment destination, though, for a lot of people?
For what kind of entertainment?
Well, I mean, I know they've never tried a talk show before. This is certainly new waters for them.
Yeah.
And I don't see how it's going to work. I mean, the timeliness of a talk show doesn't make sense to me on Netflix. I don't get it.
Netflix is great if you want to watch a season of a show that's scripted and you can binge watch or see at your own leisure or something. But who wants to see old episodes of a topical talk show?
Yeah, no one.
Right.
Yeah, nothing ages more poorly than a late-night talk show.
Yes. And look, the DVDs of the Johnny Carson show, they've tried this forever, tried to make a market out of second viewing for talk shows, and people just aren't that interested.
Yeah, because you got some movie star on talking about a movie that's 8 years old.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe it'll work. All I know is Netflix stocks took a tumble when they announced it yesterday.
Is that true?
It did. It went down like $5 a share.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, she's certainly easier to avoid there because you won't accidentally click on her like you might.
I can't accidentally run across her. That's so true.
See?
That's very exciting news. As is the Smith family story, Willow and Jaden.
Yeah.
They're just free-range children. There's no parenting going on,
no
I think, at all with,
yeah.
that, with that household. Us Weekly reports that they have very interesting taste in pets. Jaden apparently has tons of snakes that he keeps as pets that he sleeps with in his bed. He calls them his girlfriends, and he sleeps in bed with the snakes, which I think is bad for the snakes. What if he rolls over in the middle of the night or something?
I have never heard of anyone sleeping with their snakes.
And Willow has as many as 10 animals sleeping in her room at any one time, also without a cage. So they're just living there in the room.
Hmm.
So I'm sure it smells good and it's healthy for
10
everyone.
10 seems like a lot.
Seems like a great idea.
By the way, I don't at all want to get gross here, but wouldn't there be some concern about sleeping in bed with a snake, where that snake might end up?
They don't
seriously
force their way into your orifices.
You don't know, man.
I do know. It's science.
All right, I'm just saying.
I don't know why people think Bean is creepy. I could have said that better. Today's celebrity birthdays. Martin Landau is 86 years old today. Singer Brian Wilson, 72. Lionel Richie turns 65. Lionel Richie, what happens when you
play? That's one for Burtonsville, for Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his songs.
Oh, that's right. You might want to wait for the setup before you play the
song. What was your rush
there?
Might
have waited for me to say, I wonder what happens when you play a Lionel Richie song.
That's one for Burtonsville, for Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his songs.
Yeah, that probably would have worked out better.
Holla!
What the hell's going on here today? The Friday show. John Goodman, 62. Nicole Kidman's 47. Director Robert Rodriguez is 46. Actor Josh Lucas turns 43. Chico from Deftones is 41, and Christopher Mintz-Plasse celebrates his 25th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, this is going to be fun. Ladies and gentlemen, our old friend for five, 6 years, I want to say, working on it right here behind the scenes on the Kevin and Bean Show, Mike Catherwood joins us in studio once again.
Woo!
A lot closer to 9 years, but...
But you weren't on our show for that long. You were working in other parts of the building before you came into the studio with us.
I started with Kevin and Bean in 2003, and then I left in, 2010, something like that.
Wow, okay, yeah. Long time. And one of the features that we used to do when Mike was here, and we have him back from time to time, is to get you in shape for summer. It's a feature we call the Cycle Body. If you've got workout questions, diet questions, nutrition questions, we want to hear from you right now at 1-800-520-1067. Now, Mike,
yes.
Summer starts tomorrow, so it's not too late for anybody listening to really just get in that bikini shape between now and then, right?
Yeah, I mean, tomorrow is a good enough buffer. To get ripped like that by
plenty of time, no matter 20, what you're working with today, right?
24 hours is a good starting point to just get like six pack abs. If you're really
it's
bad.
So easy. I don't know why everyone doesn't do it.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's
That's
actually
baffling.
Here's something I like to say, and it is not my own thought. I don't know who originally put it out there, but getting in shape and health and fitness is very simple to like in theory, but it's very complex to apply. If that makes sense, it's very like the basic tenets of what it takes to do it is very simple and very straightforward. Mm-hmm. But it's incredibly complex in all the stuff that leads into actually maintaining it and doing it and putting it into action.
Right. So. Yeah, that makes sense, and I think that's important for people to know as they head into whatever workout or diet they plan to have. One of the things that I've learned from you over the years, Mike, is that there are two different levels of fitness. There's the level of I look good and I'm healthy, mm-hmm. but what most people seem to be chasing are the cover of Men's Health, and that's right. Unattainable for most people. A lot of that has to do with genetics, right?
Something that a lot of people really need to understand, like the average person, is that genetics plays a massive role. You can have any body you really can't have the body that you always dream of. You can have that body on Men's Health or Oxygen or whatever the Women's Shape magazine. But understand that the people that do that achieve that body, regardless of genetics, devote their entire life to it. And that is not realistic for 99% of the population. Yeah. If you have a real job, if you have a real life, if your livelihood isn't looking great on the cover of a magazine, it's most likely not going to happen for you. And that's not to say you can't have an amazing physique that turns heads at the pool, but just to use that as your goal, you know, the women and the men on the covers, it is a bit unrealistic and practically – from a practical point of view, it's inappropriate because you're leading yourself to failure.
And aren't those people also, a lot of them, it's sort of like when you're doing bodybuilding, how you build yourself to a peak that you can't possibly maintain.
Yeah, yeah.
And they do some airbrushing as well.
Yeah, without question. Lisa, that's a very good point. You know, the day they actually do the photo shoot, they've been above and beyond just diet and exercise. They've been doing a lot of preparation just to peak for that photo shoot. And same goes for actors. I don't know so much for female actresses, but male actors, action stars, they do the same thing for movies. They even peak for scenes. Like, I know firsthand knowledge with Henry Cavill in Man of Steel, mm-hmm. they shifted the filming sequencing around just to know – like when in the movie he would be doing shirtless scenes and he would be like he would add a little bit more mass for times when he'd be in the suit and he would have to kind of taper down to get to shirtless scene. You know,
so he's got a whole team working on him, like a pit crew at a NASCAR race. Let me ask you a personal question, Mike.
Yes.
No one ever sees this because you never take your shirt off, but you have a six pack. You're one of those guys who does walk around every day, 365 a year with a six pack.
No, that's not true. I walk around, 7 months out of the year with a six pack. But like, for instance, right now, I'm a lot bigger than I usually am. I'm about 200 pounds right now. And at times have been, 170.
Why are you so big right now? What's going on? Because Ralph noticed that too when you came in.
Yeah, I've been trying to beef up. I mean, I made a conscious effort to pack on some muscle. So along with whenever you're adding weight, a lot of people get misled by popular fitness magazines and bodybuilding magazines and stuff. They think that you can grow these huge muscles and lose body fat at the same time. And barring the absolute beginner, that's just not going to happen. So, when I put on however many pounds of muscle, I've also added some layers of fat. That's biology. That's simple biology.
All right. We're going to take a break, come back, and include your phone calls for the Psycho Body here on KROQ. Again, summer starts tomorrow. We're trying to get you prepped here at 1-800-520-1067. If you've got a CrossFit question or a P90X question or a gluten question, whatever you've got, Mike is your man, and we'll take your calls right after this on the world-famous KROQ. Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow is the first day of summer, so that means it's summer's eve. Huh, Lisa? Huh?
Douche!
Mike Catherwood is here. It's time for the Psycho Body.
Don't just get fit, get psycho. Don't just get strong, get psycho. Don't just get big, get psycho. It's the Psycho Body with your host, Psycho Mike. Are you with me?
Are you, so you're more swole than Dr. Drew, your co-host on Loveline right now.
Oh, he's got to be so jealous.
I hate that.
He's trying to catch up, right?
3 inches shorter and 10 pounds heavier. Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah, but he's also a millionaire and a celebrity and a doctor. So he destroys me. He destroys
me.
Yeah.
He does win. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's just burn through as many calls as we can here. We got some great ones, too. Anthony gets us going. He's in El Monte. He is on line 4, and he's up first on the Psycho Body. Hey, Anthony, go ahead, please.
Hey, how you doing? First of all, I want to say, Mike, big fan.
Thanks, man.
Okay, I'm trying to get back on a routine here, and I've been in and out of the gym for a few years, and I've been noticing my soreness is getting worse. It's putting me out of the gym for a lot longer.
Yeah.
How do I get over that?
Do you notice that, like, all over your body or just typically with your legs?
All over.
Okay. How have you, like, you say you're just getting back to the gym. How old are you now?
35.
Okay. You're exactly my age. That comes with the territory.
Seriously?
You're not in your 20s anymore. And, you know, your body's ability to recover is a lot better when you're 21. Just, like, you can shake off a hangover a lot easier. The same thing goes. I mean, when you engage in hypertrophy, which is the destruction of muscle cells from the fatigue of training, it's not as easy. You know, the cells in your body don't recuperate the same way as you get older. But it doesn't mean that you can't keep training. My best advice to you is that until you get to the point where you're at a little bit level of a better level of work tolerance, back off a little bit, you know, cut down on the volume, not necessarily.
That's what I've been doing. That's been my approach.
That's your approach.
Just
back
way the hell off.
Not necessarily the intensity of your training, just the volume. Don't do as many sets. Don't do, you know, as long of a workout.
Oh, I'm starting off really slow and it's still not helping any.
Well, maybe you're just in really bad shape and a fat ass. I mean, like,
maybe you're just weak.
Yeah. That is it too.
Yeah.
All
right,
Anthony.
Thank you for the call. We got to move on to another call. Appreciate it, though, so much. Let's go to Travis. He's on line 5. He's got an age-old question for you, Mike. Hi, Travis. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Well, hello.
So my question is more about cardio.
Yes.
I oftentimes don't get the chance to do cardio until after my workout. I was wondering if I was doing myself a disservice or if that was okay.
No, I mean, look, it obviously depends on your goal. If you are just looking to improve the look of your physique, to save aerobic activity till after anaerobic work, like after your weight training. If you are looking to compete in some type of endurance activity, like biking or running, you want to do that before you weight train. But if you're just looking to change your physique, then it's best to do it after your workout when your glycogen stores are a little lower.
Okay, thanks.
Right. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that. Here's one from the Kevin and Bean. You can, of course, contact us on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page or on Twitter at Kevin and Bean. Psycho Body, other than seafood, which I am allergic to, what are some good fat-burning foods for before and after workout? That's from Jason.
Before and after workout, I mean, look, you really kind of want to gauge it to how fat or thin you are. And what your goals are. I mean, if you're a relatively in shape person and you're going to go train in MMA, you have to have some quick burning carbohydrates and some quick easily assimilated proteins. You know, things like whey protein, even chocolate milk, stuff like that can get really sugary and really quick burning protein to get in your system and help fuel you. If you're looking to get, you know, in good shape and lose some body fat, you don't necessarily have to eat anything before you work out. I mean, it's kind of an old wives' tale that you need to, you know, make sure you got some carbs to burn before you go and carb load. Yeah, that's great for an Olympic rower, but if you're just someone that wants to shave 5 pounds, maybe go to the gym on an empty stomach. It's really not that big a deal. Yeah, a lot gets made out of that.
I've been carbo loading now for 20 years.
Yeah.
I've just been building it up just as much pasta as I can eat. And when I start my workout, I'm going to be so well fueled.
It's going to be insane. You're going to be like Usain Bolt.
A couple more calls. How about my man George calling us from Las Vegas, listening through KROQ.com, I assume. Hi, George. You're on with Mike Catherwood. This is The Psycho Body. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, fellas. So I've been trying to bulk up recently, and a friend of mine keeps trying to convince me to do CrossFit. I've heard some criticism about it. Does CrossFit, is it detrimental to muscle gains? I mean, what do you think,
yeah,
Mike?
Yeah, it is. It's just too physically taxing. You know, it's people don't like to hear this because they want to maintain six-pack abs and put on muscle. But when you're trying to gain weight, you need to try to weigh on the scales of justice energy expenditure versus the calories that you're intaking. And, you know, a lot of these CrossFit workouts are incredibly physically taxing. I mean, they're just brutal. And if you're trying to put on muscular weight, it doesn't necessarily meet the energy demands that you're looking for hypertrophy, which is muscle building. So,
yeah. Okay.
Thank you so much for the call. Hey, Mike, are you one of those guys who has an extremely limited selection of things that you can and will eat?
No, I'm a big foodie. I like to eat. I like food. I just try to make sure that it's healthy. But I eat almost everything except for, you know, just pure junk.
What do you make of Lisa buying into this don't eat gluten thing anymore?
If you are truly sensitive to gluten, I mean, if you are one of these people like celiac disease or you have insane, you know, real sincere allergies, I think it's worthy. I mean, if it makes you feel better.
I feel better.
Yeah, then so be it. But there's no – a lot of people are going – goo goo gaga over gluten-free, and the overwhelming majority of the population doesn't see any benefit from it. It's just nonsense, you know?
Lisa Bay is pretty much just eating clouds at this point.
Well, the thing is, a lot of people go gluten-free, and then they eat all the gluten-free junk in the stores.
Yeah.
If you just cut out the grains, that's a different thing than turning to gluten-free junk food.
Sure. No, Lisa's right. If you have the choice to just get your only carb sources from things like rice and sweet potatoes, things like that, there's no downside to that. You're just cutting out processed breads. There's no downside to doing that. But I think people look to the idea of gluten-free as some type of magic bullet to get them in better shape,
right.
and it's not going to happen. I mean, if you were to eat the same amount of calories and same macronutrient breakdown, and one was gluten-free and one had gluten, it's not going to make a lick of difference. That's the point I wanted to make.
All right, great stuff. We're going to have to leave it there. You can hear Mike along with Dr. Drew, who's not nearly as swole as he is, 5 nights a week here on KROQ for Loveline. That is Sunday through Thursday night. Mike, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for coming in. Have a great summer.
Thank you, guys.
Congratulations to Mickey Hughes from Lake Forest. Might be on his way to Lollapalooza in Chicago. He qualified a few minutes ago. Your next chance is at 12:10 this afternoon. Then again at 3:10 and 6:10. Get details and another chance to win at KROQ.com. All right, Ralph, you ready to take us home?
I am.
Let's do it.
Let's get out of here. Summertime used to mean nothing but reruns, but thanks to the magic of cable and the internet, there's brand new shows for you to watch. I want to give you a heads up. It's the return of Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Yay!
Has debuted a new season this week. If you're not watching that, you're missing out.
It's great.
It's fascinating. It's funny. It is a view of comedians you don't get to see. Comedians talking to other comedians about their craft and what they do, and just a really interesting stuff. Seinfeld's a great host of this thing, and it is exactly what it says. It's Seinfeld shows up in a classic or novelty automobile of some make, model, and year, and then he picks up the comedian, and they go get coffee.
You know what I love about it? I mean, I'm glad you pointed out what a great host Jerry is that he seems genuinely interested in their lives and how they developed their perspective and what it was like for them growing up and how that shaped them as adults. And it's just neat. It's neat to just see smart, funny people just talking to each other.
It is neat, Beef. I think you and Whitey will enjoy it. But I don't think Lumpy Rutherford or Wally would enjoy it nearly as much as you do.
How dare you.
The difference is this season, it's got a theme song. Never had a theme song before. Now it's got a brand new theme song sung by, and I say sung, I use that loosely. I use that in like a Lisa May term, sung.
Okay.
By Jerry Seinfeld, and I'm assuming he wrote the lyrics as well. Here's a little taste.
I think it's time for that silly show where comedians and their cars go. They talk and laugh with coffee beans and drink and stir and wear blue jeans. So I'll get in that car. No need to go far. Sometimes on stage I won't come offy unless I'm getting in a car.
more coffee.
I feel like he spent a lot of time on the lyrics.
Did Omar write that for him? Speaking of TV shows, the seventh season of True Blood.
Yes.
Kicks off this Sunday night at 9 o'clock on HBO.
Very excited.
Yeah, very excited. Yep. If you're a fan of Anna Paquin like I am. Well, this week just went out and said how proud she is to be a bisexual wife and mother. All right. Let me see you naked. Well, look. Hey, look. My wish came true. She's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly this week, lying in a coffin next to her husband, Stephen Moyer. And that's a good-looking couple right there.
Yeah. No! Anna Paquin boob does not count as real boob.
Yes,
like
it does.
Look at a 12-year-old boy.
No.
That's not true.
Counts, Peter. And as Kate Gosselin signed her own fate, according to In Touch magazine, the mom of eight kept a journal, a brutally honest journal, and then threw it away in the garbage.
Uh-oh.
Where someone apparently snatched it up has now made it into a book called Kate Gosselin, How She Fooled the World. In it, reportedly, it talks about her spanking her kids and even calling her ex-husband John at one point, telling him that she might hurt his kids to get back at him. She sounds like Mom of the Year, doesn't she?
Wow.
Have you been following this brouhaha regarding Carlisha Thurman, the college graduate who was breastfeeding her daughter during the graduation ceremony?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah! That's hot!
Yeah, it happened down at UC Long Beach. Go Beach! And the photo is all over the internet, and now everyone's got an opinion, including Wendy Williams, talk show host Wendy Williams.
Well, that's the only opinion that matters,
yeah,
Ralph.
That's how I feel. She says, I'm all for breastfeeding, but I don't want to see it in public, at Target, Starbucks, on an airplane, or at my kitchen table. Wendy Williams, by the way, posed nude for a PETA campaign back in 2012. Listen, if we have to put up with seeing your body, there's nothing wrong with a woman feeding her child.
I don't have any trouble with that.
I don't either.
I don't either.
It's
not
ridiculous.
A bit.
Ridiculous. That's really what they're there for, boys and girls.
Yep.
And it's not for you to stare or gawk or have an opinion on.
Just let her do her thing.
It's just a thing that's happening that doesn't concern you.
She's feeding her child. Stop it. And lastly, Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream has announced they are honoring Saturday Night Live's upcoming 40th anniversary. Can you believe Saturday Night Live's been on the air for 40 years?
Yeah.
By adding two new flavors of ice cream to their list. You can look for Jilly's Catastrophic Crunch as a tribute to Kristen Wiig's character, Jilly. That's the one with the freaky doll hands.
Yeah, so creepy.
I don't want to eat anything related to that person whatsoever. And they also have another flavor called Lazy Sunday, a tribute to the skit of the same name, which, of course, came from Chris Parnell and Andy Samberg, one of those raps they did, which was very funny. And the last time they added a flavor with an SNL theme was back in 2011. Remember Sweaty Balls?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Some people had problems
quite
with
an uproar.
Sweaty balls. Yeah.
Gimme.
Was that the Bean couldn't get enough sweaty balls. He kept asking for more and more sweaty balls in his mouth.
Gimme.
We had to keep buying pint after pint of sweaty balls for Bean because he could not eat enough sweaty balls.
That was an Alec Baldwin sketch?
Yeah, it was an Alec Baldwin sketch, yeah. They were doing their NPR.
That's right.
NPR bit, so.
It's funny.
Tonight, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I return to the stage with Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose.
No.
We'd love to have you come out and join us. Go to improv.com, get your
tickets. I'm not sure I'm interested in that.
Improv.com, click on Hollywood, and we'll see you tonight.
The answer is a flat no.
Come on. It's going to be some good stuff.
No.
Good stuff.
Well, you know the old expression.
Yeah, what?
Nope.
Oh, come on. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oscar-winning actor Martin Landau is 86 years old today. Did you ever see the movie Ed Wood?
Oh, yeah.
Tim Burton? Sure.
Boy, Landau's performance in that is terrific. He also, I think he won his Oscar, though, for Woody Allen's Crimes and Misdemeanors.
That was a great movie and an amazing performance by Mr. Landau.
As well. Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys is 72 years old today. I wonder how Rodney celebrates Brian Wilson.
It's got to be a big day for him.
Oh, can you imagine?
Rodney's apartment, yeah.
He must pull out all his vinyl and just take his clothes off and get in a sandbox and roll around.
Sure.
So glad you dig me.
Yeah, I do dig you, Rodney. Lionel Richie's 65 years old today. John Goodman, 62. Nicole Kidman is 47 years old. Director Robert Rodriguez is 46. Actor Josh Lucas is 43. Chino Moreno of Deftones and Crosses is 41 years old, and Christopher Mintz-Plasse is 25. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph, and RIP Monkey. We got a brand new week of Kevin and Bean shows sans Kevin next week with some terrific guests, including Kat Deely from So You Think You Can Dance. She's going to be here. Our friend Doug Benson joins us in studio Monday, and Zach Braff as well. Have a great weekend.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, B, nobody cares.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
He's the least cool guy I've ever met.
Roll another one.
This certainly is an upsetting number of pancakes.
Just like the other one.
Just let it go.
This one seems to be about to quit.
So I wanted to do horror stuff for my friend.
Why don't you go and ask Noah's Ark in Armenia Mountain? Still exists there, but still is not even is still frozen.
Yeah.
Roll another one.
I fail to see the humor.
Just like the other one.
Have you ever been on Lufthansa airline before?
I don't have another
cent. Now Worthington and his dog Spot.
What?
Well, we'll both guard that joint.
Hi guys, how's your day?
Just pass it around.
As emo gets.
Well, we'll both guard that joint, my friend.
I said, oh Lord Jesus, this is a fire.
Just pass it on down. Pass it on.
Aloha.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Well, gang, I guess that wraps up another mystery.
You're f***ing toxic. I feel sorry for anyone who has anything to do with you. You know what? I'm done. And I never want to see you again.
I'm Casey Kasem. Join me again next week for our countdown of the 40 biggest hits in the USA. Till then, keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars. And keep your radio tuned right where it is.
I would just drop the mic and walk.